Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is Tuesday. We are live. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. It's conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is, a little more than a minute, about a minute and a half past the hour as we begin this Tuesday edition. We've got a name for every other day of the week, and I don't know, Too True Tuesday? How's that? Yeah, it doesn't get it for me either. But I was thinking of it earlier in the day when I was just looking at some of the stuff that was going to inevitably be in the stack. And I'm looking in the chat room here just because there may have been an issue or two. Sparky, Lottie, you got it? Horst is in the chat room too, and he's having some streaming difficulties, and we're just trying to figure out after last night's buffering issues whether or not that was me, somebody else, or the end of the stream. Okay, cool. Thanks, Lottie. Thanks, Sparky. I don't know. Maybe restart your player, Horst. It's a long way from here to there. You know, it's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And I'm happy to report that after the fundraising effort of three $50 challenges last night, we got very, very close. We're almost done. We only need five more, and we will have met all three challenges, which is extremely cool. So that's five more $10 contributions, somewhere along those lines, and we will have taken care of, yesterday and today and arguably tomorrow. Tired Tuesday? Nah, Jim, it's too early to be tired Tuesday. If we start acting like that now, we'll never make it to Friday. So there are open questions as to where we go and what we address and what we deal with tonight. It is, however, the first day, can you believe it? It is the first day of spring. You know, this would have been New Year's in ancient Rome. And as Kate on the Front Range pointed out, it is also New Year's in the ancient Persian calendar, Nowruz, Nowruz. The most important holiday in the old Persian Zoroastrian calendar. Their god Ahura Mazda, the wise lord, being the central deity there. A 13-day celebration that begins with the vernal equinox, which this is. A day of absolutely equal proportions, 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. All over the planet, this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe, there are places where, without a clock, without a calendar, with nothing but the rising of the sun, in a given spot you could know that this is the equinox, that spring has come. Of course, it's equally fascinating that Jupiter and Venus are nearby one another in the night sky, and in a moonless night such as we had last night, my heavenly days, they were bright. I mean, the rays, or maybe it's a problem with my vision, but you can actually see the spiky rays of light coming off of them. They were incredibly bright. And Venus is, of course, a harbinger of spring. But whether it be Stonehenge, or a place in the American Southwest Desert, or a pyramid complex not far from the Mississippi River, across and east of St. Louis, or a pyramid on the Yucatan Peninsula, people made sure that we could always know it was spring because it's quite possibly the most hopeful time of year, when we know that we'll have a chance to plant crops and feed ourselves for another season if we don't completely screw up the planet. I'll put in another pitch at this point in time for Charles C. Mann's 1493, and of course its precursor, 1491. The account he gives, and I remember when 1491 was out and I got hold of it, I remember trying to get him on the program, and we emailed back and forth, and he said, "I'd love to be on the show, but I can't right now because I'm in China." And I remember thinking, "What in the world are you doing in China?" Well, now I know. Charles C. Mann was looking at the evidence of what the Columbian Exchange and the rise of the Homogenocene did to places like China. You know, there's a lesson there, just in Chinese peasant agriculture of the 18th and 17th and 16th centuries. There's a lesson there for Appalachia, because they carved their mountains down too. And they made these flat, stepped, terraced places that they, and guess what? They all washed away and created hellish flooding downstream that killed millions of people. It's all very well documented. Those ancient Chinese cultures being rather particular about recording the day-to-day observations of their world. And the more they deforested, the more they flooded. And the more they flooded, the more they died. And the more they died, the more they died. And died. And died. And what is described there, it looks, I mean, it's almost, and there are pictures. It's a lot like mountaintop removal. I should also mention that there is a new offer out on the table. Our good friend Tosh. He said he accidentally got a second copy of 1491. He thought he was offering. He thought he was ordering 1493, but no, he got a second copy of 1491, which he now has no particular use for. And Tosh has been a supporter of this program for a very, very long time. And he has it out there. And seeing as how we need $50 to match the challenges from last night, I thought this would work nicely. Tosh is offering it. Yes, you could buy it for cheaper, but this is makes it sort of a premium that it supports the horn. Tosh is offering it as a gift to the first new donor or first new challenge grantee who kicks in $50. It's a used copy, but it's a huge book. I'm assuming that this is in hardcover. I don't know. But Tosh is going to match, has matched that input, so that you get a book and you support the horn, and you get to read one of the most. This really is an important volume. And once you're done with this, you run out and you get 1493, and then you do like I do, and you sit there night after night reading, going, "Holy cow! Everything old is new again. Nothing changes." I really am waiting for that time when human beings reach our potential. Because we can. We really, really can. We just have to get past the greed and the fear. Oh, wait, I guess I'm saying we have to get past religion. Anyway, so that offer is out there. Just drop me an email. Let me know if you want to take up Tosh's kind offer. Shoot me an address. I'll shoot the address to Tosh, and Tosh will send it to you. How's that sound? It is a magnificent book, and the follow-up is proving every bit as much so. So let me know, and we will go from there, and we'll sort of knock down two birds with one stone, finish off the challenge from last night, and meet one of Tosh's at the same time. So back to what I was saying. It is the new year in many, many corners of the globe. It would be our new year, too, except for the fact that the calendar had to be rewritten to make the new year coincide with somebody taking a knife to baby Jesus' little pee-pee. No, really. That's why New Year's falls, you know, a week after Christmas. 8 days, actually. It does. Did you ever notice that? Yeah, that's because on January 1st we celebrate the ritual genital mutilation of the baby Yeshua. They don't bring that up a lot, but it's true. But more enlightened cultures tended to realize that people would get a lot more out of a new year if they could feel like something was starting fresh. And what is spring but a fresh start? And so, in places like Iran, and for the life of me, I can't understand the mindset of these right-wing turds who want to bomb these people and create manifest horror and hell when there isn't even any evidence that they're plotting anything similar for the rest of us. Not even a little bit of evidence. They've just got a hard-on to bomb some more Muslims. You realize the Persians aren't even, Arabs. They're not. They are some of the original, and this is a loaded word, I realize it, but the Persians are some of the original Aryans. Some of them stopped on the way down out of the Caucasus area in the Great Migration, and they stopped in the area that's now Persia. Some kept going into the Indian subcontinent. And we have Republicans that are absolutely, they're on fire. They've got a religious zeal, an utter fervor that can only be fed, in a wash of human Persian blood. And yet, the celebration of the vernal equinox continues apace, no ruse. The first day of spring, 13 days of celebration following it, celebrated with all the panoply and richness that is the thousands of years of Persian culture, joined among family and friends. The ceremonial table set with items symbolizing love, health, affluence, beauty, patience, rebirth. What? Rebirth? Yes, rebirth. People go from house to house visiting friends and family. They make a particular point of spending time with neighbors. And the youngest family members visit the oldest family members first. Entire communities throw big parties together to celebrate the new year. On the 13th day of Nowruz, there are huge picnics held. Imagine the picnics of the 13th day of Nowruz as American and Israeli missiles zoom overhead, slamming into families, slamming into feasts, into celebrations, because of the bloodlust of these so-called Christian killers. One puts on one's new clothes at Nowruz. Imagine being blasted into one's constituent parts in those new clothes. One cleans the house at Nowruz. Imagine having one's house reduced to rubble. One pays off one's debts. one gives gifts. And just think of it as Christian America giving the gift of eternal life to a lot of Persian people. The last night before the last Wednesday of the year, which would have been last Wednesday, I guess, is Shahar Shana Besuri, the Festival of Fire. It's an ancient Zoroastrian recognition of the triumph of light, good, over darkness, evil. And great fires are lit in the street and people jump over them. Funny, I had no idea that West Virginia University Mountaineer fans setting couches on fire and on High Street and on University Avenue in Sunnyside. I had no idea they were Zoroastrians, but apparently there are some things that run so deeply into the human consciousness that we're not even aware of them when we're doing them, because I've seen the burning couch jumping on nights of mountaineer victories. Nuts, like pistachios, are gifted among friends as thanks for life and happiness and health that obtained in the year before. And so, at some point in time, Persian people, even as we speak, are reflecting upon the fortune of the old year, and there must be some sort of trepidation that accompanies, that accustoms the anticipation of the new one. And they take time in this time to be thankful for their loved ones and the blessings that their life has carried. Ray noting, of course, there was no proof of anything going on in Iraq either, but who needs reason when you can spend billions and make billions reducing picnickers and people at the playgrounds and amusement parks into, just turning them back into the sort of evaporated star stuff from which they came. It is the first day of spring. Shadows crawl across stones. Caves are lit up. And somehow or another we remember what seems like ancient hours in a species that in the grand scheme of this planet have been here but a blink of an eye. But it is spring, and spring brings optimism. In a short while, there will be lambs to slaughter, and that too will mark the hopefulness of a well-fed coming year. Even here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by God, Virginia, the signs were unmistakable. Can't remember the name of those bushes that are all just huge balls of beautiful sort of brushy, thorny yellow as they burst into bloom, and the red buds will come shortly thereafter, and the ramps have been sticking their heads out of the loamy mountain soil for a couple of weeks now. Ramps go great with beans. It is spring. And it is a hopeful time, and what hope is left in us must surely be directed toward the hope that we do not drop our bombs and send our missiles into those gatherings of picnickers, lovers walking furtively hand in hand outside the view of the official prudes. Children whose laughter knows no separate language at play. That shall be the hope of our spring, I suppose. That in our name and with our money, and in complete and utter violation of our consciences, which, as noted, seem not nearly to be as important as a hardcore Roman Catholic's conscience about whether an individual not even related to them can take a substance that prevents them from getting pregnant. No, that's the conscience that matters, not the conscience of those of us who would not see already born little children blasted into star stuff. That shall be the hope of our spring, I suppose. And it's really, when you get right down to it, a pretty good hope. A pretty good hope indeed. So let's hope it. And let's kind of break away from the old traditions of celebrating the ritual genital mutilation of little baby Jeebus's pee-pee. And let's think of this as New Year's Day. Do let's think of this as a day of rebirth. Seems worthwhile, doesn't it? We'll take a little break. We'll come back with the meat and potatoes of the program. But it seemed worth it just to note what it means. Can you imagine the first humans who realized that there was a cycle within their lives? I'm guessing it was probably women who had a cycle within theirs. Og and Gronk were out chasing gazelles and running into trees. But the women folk began to realize there was probably more to this than just chasing gazelles and running into trees. It's been a long time, I suppose. But each of us have the power, sitting still and thinking, just to reflect and consider all that has gone in to us getting here. Happy New Year.
Don't some roses around chocolate nipple brown. Smiling.
I love that song. Oh, I love that song. That, of course, is XTC, and it's actually called Easter Theater, but the whole lyric kind of fits. I love smart music. I just love it. And I love emails like this. This coming in from Jeanette up in Minnesota. Jeanette says, I always learn something on the horn. Today's tidbit is New Year's is January 1st because of a damn circumcision? ! Yeah, I'm down with all the question marks and exclamation points. Jeanette continues, which, even if one's okay with basing what we call the new year on Jeebus' happy genital mutilation day, should not be January 1st because Jeebus was not born on December 25th. But there is that. Did I mention Jeanette's in Minnesota? Yeah, this from Minnesota. I did see my first bunny in the backyard today, much earlier than usual. Jeanette says, I think I'm going to start living by a different calendar. Also possibly a different clock, as the day starting at midnight does nothing but confuse me, even though my sleep schedule is so screwed up anyway that I now go to bed at 6 a.m. and sleep till 2 or 3. Hog and gronk, hee hee. You'd be surprised how much time I think about old Hog and old Gronk sitting around drinking the fermented berry juice and having visions and starting religions and stuff. You realize religion was born out of alcoholism. Just was. Because the yeast lives on the grape, and if you just leave the grapes laying around, they turn into wine. And the little critters live on the barley. And if you just leave the barley laying around, it turns into beer. I guess for a long time there was a chicken or egg discussion about which came first, booze or bread. I think it's fairly obvious that booze did. And then we built the religion around the bread. And the beer. The recipe for beer was sacred to the people who invented writing. It's one of the first things they bothered to write down. Shall we write down birthdays? No, let's don't write down birthdays. Shall we write down the boundaries of the nation? No. Well, what are we going to write down now that we've invented writing? Let's write down the recipe for beer. And it's really just a stone's throw from there to the Rhein-Heitz-Gebot, the German beer purity law. Barley malt, water, yeast, hops, beer. But I'm Jeanette, I am glad. I'm glad you get something out of the program. And by the way, thanks to Maura. Maura will be the recipient of 1491, and after that, I'll bet you she'll run right out and go after 1493. See, okay, Marty's on track. I'm certain L. Ron Hubbard was definitely gone, if you know what I mean, when he came up with the tenets of what is now Scientology. Drinking the leftover grape juice won't even get you to thetans. Now that's got to be some horse tranquilizer or something. But yeah, remember how last night I mentioned there were stories that wait, let's update. You want the good news first or the bad news, which may be good news. This is good news. Do you remember last week the story about the Southern Mississippi pep band screaming, "Where's your green card? Where's your green card?" at a young man by the name of Angel Rodriguez, who was playing for Kansas State University in a game against Southern Mississippi. Angel Rodriguez, who had played high school ball in Miami, who was born in Puerto Rico, which is a part of the United States of America, and the idiot little cracker bastards in the pep band at Southern Mississippi screaming, "Where's your green card? Where's your green card?" Dang, we're funny. They're going to love that back in Hattiesburg. Well, apparently the Southern Mississippi University in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, actually does give a damn about its public reputation, which those five idiots dragged through the racist mud.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently one gets a scholarship to be in the pep band at Southern Mississippi Stan University. And the scholarships of those five students have been revoked. Sorry, we're not giving you a free ride to Hattiesburg so you can sit in the stands at the NCAA Big Dance and holler, "Where's your green card?" at another American! But then again, you know, everything's got... there's good and bad to it all, right? I don't know that I want these kids' scholarships revoked. I think I would much rather have them remain in school and perhaps compelled to take a couple of black history courses or Hispanic history courses or anti-oppression training or something where they might learn about white privilege. Instead, their scholarships are being revoked and I guess they're getting sent back to Bug Tussle, where they can forever nurse a grudge against persons of color because their bigotry against them got them bounced out of the university. They're violating my free speech rights, Cletus! I don't listen to right-wing radio, but with this story having been announced today, I give it a day. Anybody want to take the bet? I give it a day. A day. Before some third-tier right-wing gas-bag-walking asshat yammerhead is talking about exactly that. These innocent children at the University of Southern Mississippi have been thrown out of school for a violation of political correctness. Wait, did I just do the Flush Flimball impression while referring to third-tier? Well, he may be one. You know, this guy's been prattling on and on and on for a very long time, and I've never heard it. I'm so incredibly grateful. This is not my idea when somebody like Tosh puts a book into the process as a sort of a premium or a thank you for supporting the Horn, or David from Maine, who has led the way with stunning videos and the series that he offered last night, which I am still waiting for an address for. Thank you. You know who I'm talking to. I'm really grateful when that happens because I'd love for us to give away stuff. And I keep waiting for the day when we get to the point where we can just do a dropship thing and press a button and make coffee mugs and T-shirts and mouse pads and little imprinted flash drives go out and stuff like that. Or what would be really cool, MP3 players. Loaded up with, you know, the entire Horn archive, perhaps. Even including the monumental work of people like Joe Vecchio or Peter Godbold. Just, yeah, it'd be kind of a rarity and we'll have it in one place. That's 8 years worth of stuff, but I bet we could find an MP3 player we could put it on. But anyway, it's not here nor there, but it is. And maybe someday we will. But in all these years, with all these millions of followers, the right-wing gas bag, the oxymoron, Flush Flimball, has never been much for giving away anything. Because he's all about taking, you know, from the suckers, the people who deliberately tune in and think that he's America's truth detector, my friends, with half my brain tied behind my back. Oh. Give me another pill. I like to chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor. Well, for the first time, he is, lo and behold, giving crap away. No, really. I was reading over at Bart Cop, and I noticed that he's giving away new iPads. Because he's in deep crap and he's trying to create some degree of listener loyalty. So he's giving away new iPads. Memo to Apple. I would at least disavow this if I were you. And at least announce that these were all paid for retail out of Flush Flimball's pockets and that you in no wise gave them away as any part of a trade or any sort of business transaction with Flush Flimball. You might want to do that, Apple, because you've got some PR problems right now, now that we've found out that you had the $100 billion in cash reserves set aside that you were just kind of sitting around on. And so because of the pressure that was brought to bear after all the crappy things we learned about how you treat your workers. Yeah, yeah, I know about the whole Daisy thing over at This American Life and yada, but it doesn't make it any less true that people were leaping to their deaths rather than to continue working for Apple. But they're going to declare a stock dividend and buyback to bring down their cash a little bit because it was getting a bit embarrassing for them. But guess what? This American company is using all its American assets for the stock buyback and the dividend declaration and leaving a whole boatload of the cash in overseas operations so they can, everybody with me, one, two, three, avoid paying taxes. Doesn't that just make you feel all warm and fuzzy? At one point in time, Apple had one of the most positively viewed brands on the planet. And apparently, with the passing of Steve Jobs and that 12-year-old's liver he had, a lot of that is falling apart because we're finding out that Apple is just another greed-driven, rapacious, profit at all costs, money over blood operation. And if they were to actually use any of that overseas money to pay these dividends, well, then they might have to pay taxes on them, you know, that do things like build the roads that their workers, in what few of them there are in the United States, get to work on. You know, they put that study out Apple did a week or so ago saying, we're responsible for 400 million American jobs, and that includes the people from UPS who deliver your iPads. How are the UPS drivers going to deliver the iPads if they don't have roads to drive on their boys? But no, they can't bother. They can't be bothered to repatriate any of them foreign dollars because then they might actually have to act like the citizens that they claim to be. Horst asking, Rush is giving away iPads? Wasn't he the one that said the name sounded like feminine hygiene products when it came out? I don't know. That did get around. I think I may have even repeated that. No, I said Tide, Ron. I said Tide, but that's pretty funny. With half my brain fried behind my back. I think we've got a keeper there. We've got an early toaster award this evening. Apple, Sony, Vizio, Microsoft. Funny, the only one of those who quit the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is, you guessed it, Apple. Thanks, Marty. I'm glad they did. But apparently their philosophy hasn't changed that much. Kim writing in, she says, right now, listening to you, I'm hearing Tiny Tim singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips and imagining you watching the bunnies in your backyard, even though the bunnies probably have two heads from the toxic coal ash. No, that's the fish, and they have three eyes and twisted spines. I too, like Jeanette, however, have seen the first bunny of spring. Kevin writing in from Colorado Springs. Bob, so glad you took the break as my accessible equipment won't let me listen to the show and send emails. Anyway, how about 2 for Tuesday today? It could be a day when anyone offering to double anyone's donation would be honored, and anyone making a donation would, of course, have it doubled. Speaking of which, my $10 check will be in the mail and hopefully doubled by someone today or from yesterday's challenges. One more thing. Until you open the lines for calls, I may call in, and if you would put me on hold so I can send in a comment or two without missing any of the show, thanks. He says, P.S., what the heck? I believe in the notion of free speech, and especially when the free speech involves progressive shows like yours and Malloy's. I believe in it so much I'm doubling my own donation to $20. It's worth it to keep on being able to listen to real progressive shows like yours. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks. And, yeah, if you ring in, I don't know who's ringing in from one call to the next, but everybody goes on hold and everybody gets a shot at the at conversation radio. An astute observation, Marty. When we start seeing five-leaf clovers, we'll really be in trouble. I wouldn't be surprised if they're already out there. Or five-headed bunnies. Yeah. I hope y'all won't mind. I volunteered today. I don't know if I'll be taken up on the offer. I volunteered today to go on a tour talking about mountaintop removal that'll run up and down the East Coast. I think it starts in Boston and ends in Charlotte. That's up in May, so that's a while yet. But if they want me, I'm there, because damned if I don't have to walk the walk if I'm going to talk the talk. So, yeah, I'll keep you advised. But, the five kids have been removed from the pep band and will be required to complete a course on cultural sensitivity. That is true. But they've lost their scholarship. See, call me crazy, but I think it's a little harsh. I think they should have the opportunity to learn the error of their ways. But then again, that's why I'm a liberal and not some sort of conservative. And that's why that's the remedy in a place like Mississippi Stan, when it might not be the remedy in, say, California. And I mentioned updates, and yes, there is an update. You know, I'm sorry about how last night's program ended, but hearing that audio again was hatefully difficult. And there's no way that you turn that off and say, y'all have a good night now. Be back tomorrow. But it's getting worse. It is getting worse for George Zimmerman. Hopefully justice, which can never bring back a lovely young man murdered in the flower of his youth. But hopefully there will be something approaching justice for Trayvon Martin. The FBI and the Department of Justice are involved now. Hopefully they will do... See, there's that spring hopefulness again. Hopefully they will do a thorough investigation and give short shrift to obviously self-serving lies. Hopefully they also know where George Zimmerman is. You know, it's a real struggle for me not to say that my hope is that he's dangling in an attic somewhere by his own hand, but I won't say that because I'm trying not to be... But it's getting worse for George, because George, you know, created this... he said that those are his screams on the audio you heard last night. And, you know, you could hear in the early part of his phone call, he sounds a little wasted, doesn't he? You know, usually when somebody's taken in on a case of murder, even in a place like Florida, they test for alcohol and drugs. But no, of course, there was nothing to test George Zimmerman on, because he was a self-appointed neighborhood watch captain. Right. But there is new information regarding Trayvon Martin's murder. I don't know if you... I never know if you've heard this stuff or not. Because there are so many ways of getting information out there, I never know when I'm just going over earth that's already been plowed. There's another spring reference for you. Trayvon was actually on his phone when this was going on. ABC News has the story. The story gets so close to home, even though I'm white folks. Because I've got a 16-year-old son, and I've got an 18-year-old daughter, and I've got a 14-year-old daughter. I never, ever realized it. But parenthood is terrifying. Because everything that you did and you got away with, you suddenly realize they might try and might not, and it scares the crap out of you. And, yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've looked at the boy and said, okay, son, put down the phone, quit texting. You know, just leave her alone for a little bit. It's easy to forget what it's like to be a teenager, so it's easy to forget, you know, how the girls get crazy over the boys, and the boys get crazy over the girls, and some of the girls get crazy over the girls, and some of the boys get crazy over the boys. And all in the world, well, one of my three teenagers has a boyfriend, the other two, all in the world she wants is a boyfriend, and all in the world he wants is a girlfriend. I mean, food? Ah. Shelter? Not so much. Girlfriend? Absolutely. Without which, sine qua non, without which nothing. So it turns out Trayvon Martin was on his cell phone talking to a girl. It was his last phone call. It was, in fact, the last speech that anyone would hear from his teenage mouth. A phone call exists between Trayvon Martin and his girlfriend. Lawyer Benjamin Crump, however, said this young lady connects the dots. Arrest George Zimmerman for the killing of Trayvon Martin in cold blood today. We don't understand how he's not arrested. The family worries that the more time passes, it will be swept under the rug. Well, what did she know? What she knew was what Trayvon had told her. He was on the phone with her as he walked all the way to the 7-Eleven. He had the phone in his pocket and the earphone in his ear. You know, the earphone has the little microphone that hangs on it. Must have been an iPhone. The young lady whose name is being protected said, he said this man was watching him, so he put his hoodie on. He said he lost the man. I asked Trayvon to run, and he said he was going to walk fast. I told him to run, but he said he was not going to run. ABC story says, eventually he would run, said the girl, thinking that he'd managed to escape, but suddenly the strange man was back, cornering Martin. Trayvon said, what are you following me for? And the man said, what are you doing here? Next thing I hear is somebody pushing, and somebody pushed Trayvon because the headset just fell. I called him again, and he didn't answer the phone. The line had gone dead. ABC News has gotten the phone logs, and they show that the conversation occurred 5 minutes before police first arrived on the scene. So there it is. He knew he was being followed. He knew he was being stalked. And he was trying to get away. You see, under the twisted pretzel logic of Florida's Stand Your Ground law, he was doing exactly the wrong thing. Because Florida wants everybody to have a gun and to stand their ground and blaze away. But in 44 other states, Trayvon Martin was doing the right thing. He was trying to retreat. As a man with murderous intent stalked him. His young girlfriend was so traumatized that she spent a night in the hospital under observation. They said the kinds of things that little teenage kids say to each other whether they actually mean them or not. They mean them. They know they mean them, but it's just it's the youth thing. And when a teenager says to another teenager, I love you, Jesus, that's potent. And Florida authorities are still saying, well, we're going to expeditiously review the case. You do that, Barney. But it has this Stand Your Ground law has created a hog-tied law enforcement that dares not charge an individual for fear of being hounded by right-wing talk radio, right-wing op-ed columnists, and right-wing gun organizations and the National Rifle Association itself. The stories are legion. They tried to make heroes out of a couple of rogue Border Patrol agents who shot a man in the back and went to prison for it and were treated by the right-wingers and the teabaggers and the militiamen and the border people as heroes for shooting a person in the back. And so, even as the evidence piles up, the wait continues for something approximating justice for Trayvon Martin. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, so, yeah, I see that the pressure's on, but this man is still not in custody.
At this point in time, I think he could be taken into protective custody, couldn't he?
I guess, but I mean, I just think it's interesting that, just what you had mentioned before, all the forces, and you weigh this black child's life, and it seems like the forces are destined to win out. I mean, nothing would have been done at all had it not, hit social media and the family's lawyer, and they're pressing it, because it's been a month almost, right?
It was February the 26th, yes.
Yeah, well, and I'm sorry, I keep repeating this, but just reverse it,
Yeah, make it a black man shooting a white teenager?
Right. Or a black man shooting a Hispanic, however you want to frame it. But a black man with a gun just using that law, it's just kind of, I can't even imagine that it would even be possible. You see what I mean? And so that's why this case is so ridiculous in the court of public opinion, because everyone knows what time it is.
Well,
they know.
Sandra, you tell me. I can't consider this story without considering Emmett Till. Because there seems to be just a ton of historic resonance here. That was 56 years ago. But there's so much similarity. A law enforcement agency that was disinterested in acting.
Well, the fact that the man, they didn't even bother to try to identify the child. They had a phone, probably some sort of ID or something, but they had to track the body down, and it had a John Doe tag on the toe. Give me a break. I mean, the disrespect just starts from the get-go, And that's all down to the fact that it's a black victim. Let's just be honest here.
Yes, and that's, everything you just described is part of the totality of the circumstances that just made my stomach turn when that comment came out that from the White House that, well, this is a local problem.
Oh, no. I've been sort of just, that just has been really terrorizing my mind today, because it's just like, I guess Robert De Niro saying we don't want another white first lady ain't a local issue, though.
No.
They already responded to that bullshit.
But
and I don't mean to go flip it from Trayvon to Obama's discomfort with De Niro talking about the type of ladies he like anyway. So, and the whole thing is just hilarious. But Obama needs to shut the hell up with the, we don't wade into this, that, or another, because he wading in that,
Well, and I think there's a, as David in Tennessee pointed out last night, that's not the answer you would have gotten from a great statesman like an RFK. You know, when you think back to the night that he announced the killing of Martin Luther King to that crowd when he was out on the campaign trail, that wasn't a local issue. And it was heated and it was volatile and it had the potential to absolutely turn things upside down.
Well, no, but hearing the whole, you know, song and dance about how, you know, Obama can't comment on racially charged issues because he happens to be black. I mean, are you kidding me? It's unbelievably disturbing to me. I mean, he put his foot in the water with daring to comment on Henry Gates, and we ain't heard nothing since because they came after him with such ferocity. But here we're talking about young people's lives, and he can't come up with it? Can't even make a comment? Except for that weasley-ass shit?
Well,
it makes it real difficult for me to get with Obama. I'm sorry. I'm like, it's really every time with this guy, it's too much. I don't want to hear no more songs. Don't want to hear about his problem with, you know, Robert De Niro probably wanting his damn wife. But, you know, he can't comment on this issue?
I guess they were trying to do damage control when they announced that the Department of Justice and the FBI were on it. But what's wrong with saying, I've dispatched the Department of Justice and the FBI?
And using the bully pulpit to possibly mention a little bit of coming together over this issue of dead black men all over the damn show.
How about little dead six-year-old black girls?
You know, and no, it's just... It's,
you know, that's
what?
Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. No, I, you know, and it's just, you know, his sort of acquiescence to not speaking on these damning and destructive issues facing minority communities is really getting old.
Well, I didn't see a link to it, but there's another one. I try to always go over and check out Bart Kopp because I've been reading Bart Kopp for about a million years now. And somebody wrote into Bart and mentioned a story out of Wisconsin that got absolutely no play. You know, Wisconsin, under Scott Walker, signed one of these Stand Your Ground murder... What do you call it? Murder for free?
Wild Wild West. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently, after it went into effect in Wisconsin, a young black man made the fatal mistake of getting a house number wrong and knocked on the wrong door. And he was blown away standing there on the porch, clueless. No charges, no nothing.
Okay, so this person's just dead because he happened to go to the wrong residence.
Yeah, he went to 1703 instead of 1705 or whatever.
And because they have this law, the person who killed this person is free to continue.
Yeah, reload.
I don't, you know.
And that's, you know, that, Sandra, is why, and Cossack last night, I think, took issue with me. But that's why I keep saying that this has to be a larger issue. You know, this is, there needs to be a million people surrounding the National Rifle Association's headquarters, because there would not be one of these Stand Your Ground laws if it were not for the intense multi-million-dollar lobbying effort by the National Rifle Association, and Trayvon Martin would not be dead but for these Stand Your Ground laws.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you know, it goes hand in hand, and so the responsibility is spread far and wide on this. But, you know, I just the lack of leadership from the White House, you know, to that whiny-ass police chief, the nerve of him talking.
Well,
about
the whiny-ass police chief is just an old reconstructed racist, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, but, I was just like, are you kidding me with his commentary? It's just too much. Him and that creep in New York is another one of them whiny-ass white men in charge who are whining because, the niggers are making noise. How dare we?
Well, and Marty just mentioned something by email. Maybe I didn't hear this on the tapes. Marty said, I ducked away for a bit. Did you mention the part of the 911 call where Mr. Zimmerman refers to effing coons while chasing Trayvon Martin.
Well, that, yeah, I've heard that. I mean, I haven't really heard it firsthand, so I don't. I mean, I had heard that that was part of the narrative now.
And yet, his daddy writes this open letter to the paper saying, "My son is not a racist."
Yeah. Well, you know, that's supposed to do what to the situation? It does nothing, because at the end of these guns and deaths in custody, we just had one here in Sacramento not too long ago. It's the person's always black, Bob. This is a common denominator here. That's
it begins to look like a clue, doesn't it?
It's a joke. So I don't want to hear any open letters or nothing. I want to hear about this murderer locked up, because they lock up a motherfucker in this country for saying boo. So what's the problem?
Well, exactly. And, you know, David in Tennessee just said, what to call that law? Why, Bob, it's a get-out-of-murder-free card.
You know, if you kill black folks, I guess. I mean, I don't really know. But anyway, that story is I don't know. I just keep waiting to hear this man has been arrested.
And, apparently at this point, the position in Florida is that nothing will happen until the grand jury meets. And the grand jury doesn't meet until next month.
Yeah, I know. No, it's just, you know.
Let's make a prediction. Just a little bit of guesswork on criminal procedure. So the guy's not going to be arrested, even though we now have evidence that has been verified via a phone log that the decedent said the guy was following him.
Well, yeah.
We have the admission of the killer that he was following the decedent. And yet none of that is treated as sufficient enough evidence to at least arrest. You know, the probable cause to arrest is, for anybody who knows anything about criminal law in this country, probable cause to arrest is such a just an itsy-bitsy little threshold to step over as to be almost non-existent in 2012, Sandra.
Yeah, I mean, the phone call has eliminated the, self-defense right there, you see? I just wonder where this one's going to lead to, because this is just beyond an outrage. The other story that popped up for me that just I shouldn't be laughing, I don't know, something's wrong with me, but did you hear about Lady or Dame, or whatever her name is, Catherine Ashton? She's the foreign minister of the European Union, right? Very high post. She's getting blasted by the Israelis because she had the nerve to compare the shooting in Toulouse or wherever it is in France of the, you know, the Jewish children who were just gunned down viciously.
Yeah, and the guy got away, right?
Yeah, and saying, you know, that, you know, these children all around the world, and mentioned Gaza, the children in Gaza, and oh shit, she is trying to deal with a shit storm you wouldn't believe.
Oh wow.
Netanyahu, and I mean a whole bunch are just freaking out because she has made any kind of connection, comparison, anything. She had to backtrack and on and on and on. In the meanwhile, though, let's remind folks that this fool in France has killed, it's an equal opportunity. He has killed Muslims, Jewish people, I think some Indians. I mean, you know, all people who are not,
Yeah, as David noted to me last night, France, you know, Europe has its ugly right wing as well.
Well, no, and this guy, to top it off with a cherry, they think he had a video camera on his neck.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, this is this bad.
Well, you got to have some masturbation material after you're done.
But no, this is right on top of Sarkozy making his hate immigrant speeches all over the show. So, no, it's problems there. But anyway, I just thought that, you know, Miss Ashton is, you know, her ass is in trouble, unelected.
So, if I understand correctly, one cannot mention the slaughter of children in Gaza in connection with mentioning the slaughter of children generally.
Anyway, yeah, that's the problem.
After all, Newt Gingrich says they're an invented people.
Well, so, you know, it's like Netanyahu raised his ugly face because someone had the nerve to mention the unpeople, courtesy of Noam Chomsky, and the unpeople are definitely Gazans. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
No, that was a faux pas on an epic scale. But I just thought that was just, you know, I'm just...
Well, I can't remember the woman's name. The woman who's president of, what is it, Liberia?
Oh, no.
Who sat down for a joint interview with Tony Blair.
And that mealy-mouthed weasel couldn't come up with nothing. Just kept his ass trapped shut. I was like, you dog, you.
She sat there and spewed a bunch of homophobic bigotry. And all Tony Blair could do was grimace. You know what? Sometimes it's okay to get up and walk out and say that's sickening.
No, I mean, you know, home chick, it's like, I'm thinking to myself, what is up with the Nobel Peace Prize Committee? They really put picking them, aren't they? They got Mr. Obama, war is peace, and now they got this chick. Can't keep up.
And of course, this came along from Horst just a minute ago. The folks over at Little Green Footballs.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
Have preserved. Oh dear God, I can't. I really so can wait to see this. They have preserved comments on the Trayvon Martin shooting. From Fox News.
Well, they're not even talking. I think they're the only media outlet not talking about it, right?
They've mentioned at one point they had mentioned it once to 43 times by CNN to like 19 times by MSNBC to one time by Fox. Yeah, the fine folks over watching TV over on Radio Rwanda, which, you know, you coined that term, and which they earn a little bit more every day. What a shame, says this commenter. A tragedy, really, because the dead little gangsta could have used affirmative action to go to college and play footballs and make lots of cash money. That's your Fox viewer.
And that idiot, oh no! I mean, I don't even know. It don't even move me because it's just so...
Good shot, Zimmy.
It's so, oh God, wow. Well, that's where we live in. You know, obviously if they don't arrest people who kill children, you see? So it just goes hand in hand.
Yet the Justice Department refuses to prosecute any voter intimidation that involves a black as the intimidator.
Well, you mean that fantasy world of...
Yeah, the new Black Panther Party and all of that. Yeah.
You know what? You know what? Them people are going to be real upset when the darkies say, okay, well, we're going to jump right into this arm and walk around, too. Watch shit get done then. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get a whole bunch of Negroes down in Florida. Oh, we're going to strap on, too, and just walk around. Then I bet it'd be a problem.
Them monkeys can jump.
Oh,
as
God.
For how did he get into the gated community in the first place? Answer, them monkeys can jump. You know, he was visiting his dad, who lived in the gated community.
And it's completely divorced from these horrible people that this person's dead. That's the thing that's really disturbing. It's like...
No, they're not divorced from it, Sandra. They're happy about it. They are happy that the little boy is dead. That is the sick, sad, sorry, sadistic place that this country inhabits right now.
Well, the right, they seem to be obsessed with little cutie in Mexico on a trip. That seems to be the latest. Obama's oldest daughter, I forget her name.
Malia? Sasha.
Yeah, she's in Mexico, and, you know, they had the earthquake, and, you know, they're just sort of... I don't know, you know...
They're outraged because it's going to drive up the deficit or something?
Yeah, that she's there, and how much is it costing, and that whole palaver. And I'm just thinking...
Well, wait, whoa. Didn't we have a couple of drunken early 20-somethings for the last 8 years in the White House, and... when they were caught using phony IDs to buy booze in a bar in Austin, and they were just quietly spirited out instead of being charged with a crime, didn't the right wing hoot and holler that, well, it's just the liberals trying to get them good little Christian girls in trouble?
Well, I'm thinking how is Michelle even letting her babies without eye shot from her at this point? But anyway.
Well, I'm kind of right there with you. But
I don't know. I don't know if
I get. Well, no. Look, I mean, you get Secret Service. If they can't do it, nobody can. After all, the Barbara and Jenna had a Secret Service agent right there in the honky tonk while. You remember that photo where one of them's on the floor with her legs spread from Dan to Bathsheba and a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other, drunkenly laughing her head off? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a Secret Service man 3 feet away.
I believe those comments, but I'm just afraid that this man is just not going to be prosecuted in any manner.
Well, what did it take? 50 years to get a successful prosecution of J.W. Milam? The guy who was the ringleader of the murder of Emmett Till?
Oh, okay. That was not that long ago, was it? Oh,
right.
God.
And he giggled about it the whole time.
It's always so funny. Ha, 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 yeah.
And David in Tennessee has a tremendous handle and perspective. Just sort of check this out for a second, Sandra. He said, "Let's tally up just for the sake of understanding the lay of the land. A black man, a famous athlete, kills dogs. He's hounded, no pun intended, out of his job, tried, convicted, and sentenced to what? 2 years in prison? Check. A self-appointed vigilante with an assault on his record had phoned in nearly 50 911 calls." As he's being told, "We don't need you to chase," he says, "these assholes always get away." Then an unarmed 17-year-old is shot dead, and we're still waiting for the shooter to even be interrogated. Check. Well, that pretty well sums up the state of affairs now that, as Ari Fleischer told us, this country is post-racial. Gotcha, Chief. I mean, that says it, doesn't it? And I don't know. Maybe I need to do a little bit more writing. A little bit more thinking or maybe it's because of the generation I am, and I'm not even, I wasn't even alive when it happened. You and I are of a similar age. But, just go back and read the circumstances of Emmett Till, who had come to Mississippi from Chicago. In other words, he wasn't from around there. Just as Trayvon Martin had come to his daddy's condo from somewhere else, because his mama, he lived with his mama, I guess. Okay, he was there to watch the NBA All-Star game with his daddy on a Sunday evening. And in both instances, their mere presence was sufficient to create the dire necessity to end their lives.
Yep, I know, but it's just...
But see, I bring up stuff like that, Sandra, and people... I had a right-wing Facebook person tell me that I was trying to... use the murder or the killing of Trayvon Martin for my own political agenda, and I thought, Jesus Christ, this isn't my political agenda. This is the lay of the land in America. I mean, how can any mother of any young black man allow him out of her sight?
No, exactly. I mean, I don't know. His name is, his last name is Blow. I can't remember his
Charles
name.
Blow, yeah. He said, "I got two boys and I'm scared to death."
Yeah, I was like, I know that's right. And it's just so disturbing. I mean, today, this other school that we were looking into, and it's just like, I thought, oh my God, no, this is too ghetto. Forget that. And so we're just going to leave the twins where they are. I'm sorry. It's like, you got to protect them where you can,
Yeah.
And it's, you're sort of put under a lot of pressure to try to keep these little kids of color safe. What can I say? It's scary. I'm dealing with, female kids, but... Yeah.
Oh, no. That once upon a time, that might have made a difference. But now it doesn't.
Yeah.
The females are every bit as mean to the other females as the males are to the males, and maybe more so.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, it's just kind of really scary times for you know, youngsters across the board. I mean, this one here, did you hear about this teacher told the student he was reading a Langston Hughes poem, and the teacher said, you need to blacken it up a bit.
Huh?
Yes. And the kid's like, what are you talking about? No. And the kid was reprimanded for speaking out of turn.
Black it up a bit.
Yeah.
God, that's an episode from MASH.
Right, and the kid was like, "What are you talking about?" You know. Anyway, I just sort of, you know, just goes from there. I was kind of horrified, just like I was horrified with that sweet little kid who read that book about, oh God, what's the, oh, I can't, I know I'm losing it. Frederick Douglass.
Yeah.
And she made the connection that, well, shit, I'm not
nothing's changed.
Right. I'm not being taught right. And she, hounded out of the school.
Out of the school and then out of the school system.
And, you know, I mean, yeah, anyway, so,
there's something important in what you just noted. You know, we've talked a lot. My good buddy Jeff Biggers has written about the removal of so many books from Arizona classrooms. Now there is literally an underground library railroad forming to get books on Hispanic
yeah.
culture back into Arizona. You have to sneak books into Arizona now, and it's very obvious because those bigots, those racists, are, you know, they're you know, the hoods are off, and they're just, you know, they're proud of who they are. But there's something also running as an undercurrent through the rest of the country where it's not necessarily in codified or enshrined in law yet, but you can this is where I fall apart, Sandra. I don't know how to describe it, but you cannot talk about anyone's contribution to life on this continent if they were not at least as white as a bar of Castile soap.
No, that's what it's something, you know, it's like, Winston Smith would be proud, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unless you want to name abortion providers, make that public. You hear about that bill?
Oh, yeah, Tennessee?
Tennessee, yeah. I was like, oh, wow.
They want to go further than that. The bill may actually require the exposure of the identities of women who go seeking abortions.
No, there's a web, yeah, there's that, too. I couldn't even believe it. I'm just sort of...
And, of course...
I don't know where that bill is.
You mentioned Winston Smith, Orwellianly named in Tennessee, House Bill 3808. The Life Defense Act of 2012. Does Tennessee have a stand your ground law? Maybe they could repeal that and call that the Life Defense Act of 2012. Or am I just too sensitive?
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, the complete war on women is just in full effect. I mean, I'm just stunned by the idea that that cracker in Texas has sort of destroyed any kind of health services for hundreds of thousands of women in Texas.
Well, did you read that story out of Texas Monthly
about that woman who had to get a pregnancy terminated because of a defect?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was off the chain. I was so disturbed after reading that. I thought, oh, dear God. I mean, and the people who were trying to help her, the pressure that they're put under, too, those health professionals.
Yeah, this is the story of a woman who, in her second trimester of pregnancy, and it would be, you know, she's married to her husband and blah blah blah.
They already had one.
Already had a little 2-year-old girl, and they want and
good.
Yeah, and they were going to, and she was going to have a baby brother, and they did another ultrasound, and it turned out that the child was doomed. And I don't know another word to say except that. So
yeah, brain deforming.
Yeah.
Like
if the child lived past birth, he would spend a lifetime of agony and an incredible just beyond human ability need for constant care.
Yeah.
Now, Are there any among us who don't have profound... I mean, it's heartrending to consider what that room must have been like when the doctor told him what was going on. And so that was based on a sonogram. So then the man and the woman go to get a second opinion because the first doctor insisted upon it, which is within the standard of care. That's what you want a doctor to do.
To a neurologist, actually. Yeah.
So the second doctor gets another ultrasound. So that's two ultrasounds in a day. And then they make the brutally difficult decision to terminate the pregnancy.
And that's when they had to go to Cirque du Soleil.
And then that's where they go over to a little block building between a Wendy's and a Brake Check location.
Yeah, no.
And walked in the door at Planned Parenthood, and the agony began. The woman had to lay there getting another ultrasound as the doctor described in great detail everything he saw about the body of the fetus. I see four chambers of a perfectly well-developed heart. There's a script, Sandra. There's a script.
But it has to be noted that the nurse turned that radio right up. And I thought, you know, it just was, but it's so oppressive.
It's Texas. You wait. There'll be a no radios in the sonogram room, Bill, within no time flat.
I know, but I think Texas is about to be sued, aren't they? Because of legally they can't deny people the health care or something. Something they've made a huge mistake with their federal money because now all these women are going to lose access to any sort of care at
right,
all.
Right, because it's all being shut down.
Right. Anyway, and it's hideous because Texas, I think, is on a two-year cycle, right? They do their budgets every
two right, years. Because their legislature only sits every
right,
2 years.
I mean, it's just, I just think, you know, all those states are just horror shows to be avoided.
Well, David Tennessee sent this story in toward the end of the show last night. Did you catch this character who's running for office in Idaho?
Now, do I even want to know?
Well, I'm going to tell you whether you want to or not. No, this was one of those holy crap, it's just too much. Guys running for sheriff of Bonner County, Idaho. And he's a straight up white supremacist.
Sheriff is a really powerful position. Scary. Oh, wow.
Well, and in some places, you know, it's not just a powerful law enforcement position. It's a powerful financial position because you are the de facto tax collector of the county.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, you know, sheriff, prosecutors, I mean, those are the offices that directly impact everyday lives of people. I mean, these people can deprive you of your freedom.
Idaho has its primary on May the 15th, and Sean Patrick Winkler is running against incumbent Sheriff Darrell Wheeler and Pondere Police Officer Tim Fry for, of course, the Republican nomination for sheriff. Now, he said that his ties to the Aryan Nation and the Church of Jesus Christ Christian won't influence his agenda. He says whether people will believe me or not, it will be entirely up to their own discretion. But he says, I don't look at myself as a vigilante. I look at myself as a concerned citizen. He says there's not enough being done to curb drugs and sex offenders. But he also makes references to, and they always do, makes references to mud people.
Oh, Wow.
You know,
unbelievable.
And my point is that the Republican Party of Bonner County, Idaho, has a problem. Where's the disavowal? Where's the, we don't have any tolerance for this? Sorry. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's just always go back to that horrible judge who did that hideous email about Obama, and he said, oh, I didn't mean for that to be public. It's like, yeah, bitch, we know this, but you need to go.
Yeah, you didn't. You know, we understand you didn't want anybody to know what a racist you are, but
that's what I'm saying.
But we do now.
And the way he stated it, like, I don't know. It just was, you know, it just to me was the epitome of that whole mindset. It's like, wow, dude. Get off the interwebs, because this shit is sprung.
It will find you.
Oh God. Anyway, yeah, I don't really have anything else to contribute.
Well, I understand, but it's Tuesday and we can be shallow for a minute.
Oh, and what's the way?
Well, no, I mean Peyton. Come on.
Oh no, of course. Listen, I didn't. You know what? I watched Peyton play, but boy, that's crack, ain't it?
Oh. And you know the good. I had an email last night. May have been Ron. May have been Jack saying, you know, Timmy said he was praying for the Broncos to have a winning season. He said, I don't know if he understood how God answers prayers sometimes. Bye bye, Timmy.
Yeah, no. I know. I was like, bye bye. I mean, he can go down to. I don't. What are his options? Florida.
I'm not sure. I have my own personal hopes, and I've already mentioned them in an email with Marty, who is now willing to consider going back to being a Broncos fan.
Mm.
Of course, you know, I figure Peyton will probably be warmly welcomed into the whatever the mega church of choice is there within weeks of his arrival in Denver, and be seen, you know, I don't know, rubbing shoulders with James Dobson or something.
Oh, I know, but no, give it to Elway. The freaks can't. Who's going to say, oh no, we don't want Peyton Manning? He shut that shit right up. I'm like,
oh yeah, I mean, yeah, Tebow Mania went away.
You know, there's no way anyone can criticize John Elway. It's like, what do you want me to do? Pass up Peyton Manning?
Well, and you know, he also protected his own legacy because he found a quarterback who can't run any faster than he ever could.
Well, you know, but
no, I have my own personal hopes, Sandra, and I know this may not play well with you, but I desperately want the Oakland Raiders to get Tim Tebow.
Yeah, no, I saw it. You know, but the thing about it is, I think I was laughing because both Miami and Jacksonville, they hurry up and signed up some quarterback. So I don't know where little Timmy is going to end up.
Oh no! Oh, you want to hear this?
Mm.
David in Tennessee keeps his ear to the ground. The latest on Timmy is that he'll understudy Michael Vick in Philly.
Oh dear. OMG.
That's almost as good as going to the Raiders.
OMG on that.
I'll be fine if that happens.
Oh no, that's going to be popcorn, I don't know, signing up for some cable package. I don't know what I'm going to do.
You may have to get the whole damned NFL network thing going with the satellite dish.
Anyway,
you want to be there for every bit of Rick Berman or I can't remember his name. He went to NFL Network.
Oh shit!
I mean, I just want to be there for the first time that when Timmy asks Michael Vick, "Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?"
That is the funniest thing I've heard all day. Is that what the rumor is?
Yeah, I mean that was not sent via email with any kind of little smiley faces or it, no, that's.
Well, because Vic, you know, he often gets hurt over a season, so they might have to roll out Timmy for that. But wow, that got me speechless. I don't know what to say.
It could be precious, couldn't it?
That would be great. Excellent. Wow. Well, listen, on that note, have a good evening.
All right, you too. Take care, Sandra.
Bye.
Bye now. Got to have a laugh along the way, and that would without a doubt be a laugh. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
It's like Horn's Tuesday America road trip, road trip through America stand. That's what it's like on Tuesdays, huh?
Yeah, it's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's nonstop stan states. It's just they just have a stream of news. It's just never ending. It's disgusting.
Well, and I, you know, there was another story out of Idaho.
Oh, I know Idaho.
Yeah. No, you know, beyond having Aryan Nations guys running for sheriff, one wonders how he'll get the hood over his sheriff and hat. There's another cat up there. They're considering another abortion bill. You know, America, for all they're complaining about how, you know, Obama's ruining America and destroying the economy and everything, not one of these the Idaho stan, Mississippi stan, Alabama stan, not one of these stan legislatures has time to actually take up any business relating to actually, you know, doing anything good for their citizenry. It's all about the women's and their dirty hoo-hoos. And so this one cat, his latest thing is that he is questioning whether women actually know what it mean, what rape means.
Yeah. Yeah. That one caught my eye today. No, they had to prove it was rape, wasn't it?
There was something about asking their husbands or, yeah. Crazy.
You know, and then, you know, poor Trayvon, you know, I hope, you know, in this day and age, a story like this, you know, I'm going to have to paint the silver lining because this is a dark cloud. You know, this is some hideous Mr. V. I mean, we've been talking about this guy for a little bit now, though, right? This is a couple weeks now that this thing's been going on. And, you know, I mean, these poor parents, the poor father, you know, this is his neighbor that does this. You know, and then you hear the 911 call. Then you hear how the kid's friend's like, run. He's like, no, I'm not going to run. And it's just like, you know, this is the most heartbreaking thing. And enough's enough. You know, but of course, listen to what the troglodytes over there on Radio Rwanda will say. But then we're the racists. And we're the race baiters. And, you know, the party of the gay old party of projection. These greedy old bastards, I can't take this crap. You know, I don't understand how they, and the mask is off and they just keep vomiting up. Ugh, they're just disgusting. These people are so disgusting. It never ends. They can shoot their own daughter in a church.
Well, you know, that's the price you have to pay for the freedom that the Second Amendment gives us.
The stands. They're the stands. I mean, you hear more sense. You know, when I watch a documentary about Afghanistan or, you know, whatever, Turkmenistan or any of the other stands that, you know, maybe we're misaligning over here. Maybe we're judging them too harshly, making a joke, you know. You know, the level of behavior we're getting out of these states, who the hell are these people? Are these even human beings? They're the most heartless, disgusting, just, I don't even know what they're doing. It's incomprehensible. You know, you could say that, man, you know, 17-year-old kid with a Snapple, I mean, even a cop would get a freaking week off with no pay for that. I mean, give me a break. This is such crap.
On the other hand, George Zimmerman gets praised on the pages of Radio Rwanda's website. Nice shot, Zimmy.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that just runs little chills down my spine when I read it.
Yeah, that coagulates my blood. I'm going to go eat a bowl of friggin' 501 after that.
You chased it with a little milk of magnesia, I know.
Oh, I mean, come on. This is, you know, yeah, with Tom
I mean, they're referring to him as this little thug ghetto monkey should have been home doing his homework, not out gang banging.
I hate these people.
I'm just glad Zimmerman didn't miss and hit an innocent bystander.
Oh. Aren't you compassionate?
This is pure racist. Not racism, mind you. We're talking about Fox viewers here. This is pure racist. When do you ever see the DOJ investigate the death of a white child? Jesus, how much money did we spend chasing down that missing white girl in Aruba?
It was like 2 years of coverage. Oh, my God. I mean, what about Casey Anthony? Oh, what about that, huh?
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, there we go.
Come on now. You know, I hate this. Victim. That's what they always do. They always do this projected or victim. Of course. It was like, I was doing an anthropological study over here, and I had to watch Jersey Shore. The wife has a work week, blah, blah, blah. You know, so we're doing that. I'm doing that at night. And it really is. If you look at it with a scientific eye, it's a fascinating thing. And actually, at the end of it, I'm like, I'm going to have to show this to my
dad. Oh, to sit down and watch Jersey Shore is just... it's watching Krippendorf's Tribe without Richard Dreyfuss.
Well, the only thing missing is Sir David Attenborough. That's missing from it. I mean, come on.
Man, I laid down a Richard Dreyfuss, and you saw my Richard Dreyfuss and raised me an Attenborough.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, good sir. It's in my hand.
I am Trump.
I mean, sorry. But, I mean, think about that. Oh, man, that's like fishing with John. Oh, that would be just a lovely thing. Hello, can we just, are these people that, they really, the mask, can they just put the mask on just for 5 minutes? It's so scary. It's like, they're the beast that comes out of the ocean, right? That's the seven-headed beast, these people. Right, the lust and gluttony and greed and murder and cannibalism. Oh my God, these people are just, their incestuous relationship with raping the earth, and then they're gonna call victimhood? They sit there and sell themselves out to live in a hovel with bags of dirty laundry and cats, and then they demand food stamps, but they're gonna vote for George Bush and McCain and now whoever, Adolf Hitler, whoever else they put in there now. I mean, you know, these people, mud people, you know, don't you read your Bible? Didn't God create us out of clay or some shit like that? Wasn't it clay? Wasn't it?
Them filthy women, with their dirty hoo-hoos, they were made out of Adam's rib bone.
Oh.
So they're not even naturally on the planet. Yeah, I mean, do you see the symbolism in all of this garbage?
I wish they did. I really do. That's the biggest problem here. Is they're, you know, they're like Willy Wonka, but, you know, they're huffing gasoline out of magnums and running around a trash dump, these people. You're talking about Emmett Till, and, I guess for me, you know, of course we have that, but, you know, it's detached, black and white photos when you're a kid in the color world, and, you know, you're sitting there, and it, of course, was the hideous, you know, disgusting stuff, but it didn't really, you know, with history, when you're a kid, it's tough to really get to you. So when I was maturing, you know, we've had a few moments where I grew up, you know, and one of them that really, you know, it's always echoing through my mind is Amadou Diallo.
Yeah.
Enough's enough. This has got to stop. I mean, this is just, enough's enough. I'm so sick of this racist shit, and it's racist to racist the nth degree. Oh, we got a suspicious looking, whatever he was talking about. I can't even repeat it. It makes me so sick. I'm so tired of it. This is so tiring. Jesus, look at yourselves in a mirror for frick's sakes. Clean off some of them dirty dishes and look at yourselves. Do something. I don't even know what to say to these people. They're just terrible. They're just terrible human beings.
Well, I mean,
you know, they make me weep.
It's like a national disease, Albert.
Yeah.
Caroli over at Crooks and Liars has a posting from this morning called Fox News Lies An Elderly Woman Dies. This is the pull quote from Tracy Nauss's Facebook page. Listen carefully. I know this personally. Fox News killed my precious mother, Hallie. She watched Fox religiously. And when she fell 10 days before she died, she refused to go to the doctor because, quote, I don't want Obamacare to get all of my information, she declared, recalling the warning she had received from Fox News anchors. She was emphatic. She was not going to consort with the Muslim enemy. As she made out her will, she told her lawyer, "I don't want any of my money going to the Muslim Brotherhood." And her last protestation dealt with Obama's death panels. Mother died just days later. I hold Fox News responsible for my mother's death. Her obituary noted she was a, quote, lifelong, dyed-in-the-wool Republican.
That's so tragic. It just is tragic. It really is.
See, these people that sit there with their well-coiffed hair and their neatly crossed legs and their little red dresses and their perfect dye jobs on Fox, who smilingly talk about death panels and Obamacare... they're doing it for profit. That's why we call them the for-profit media. Accuracy, integrity, none of that ain't got nothing to do with nothing, Albert. They're doing it for money, and if they happen to kill an old lady along the way, well, so what? You can't prove it.
Which
by the time you get all the way to the ground is the same argument being used in Florida for George Zimmerman. Well, you can't prove it.
You know, yeah. Well, what about man? We've been dealing with this great level of crazy for quite some time now. You know, there was John Stewart of all people gets a bag of anthrax in the mail and. Or whatever, powdered sugar. And, of course, we all know where that guy lived, and we all know what that guy listened to. And, you know, I mean, these people, they are their own worst enemy. You know, just like you made a point before, you know, you know, you're not trying to put a liberal spin on it. You're just trying to, you know, state the nation, you know, the state of our countries, the state of our affairs, what we're doing, what we look like, you know, where we are on the map, you know. And they are their own worst enemy. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't agree with the, you don't smell like zombie, then we eat you. That's what it's like kind of down to.
Brains.
You can't dumbify. Yeah, you can't dumbify yourself down. You know, that's all right. We'll shoot you. We'll eat you. You know, and that's kind of like this mindset. I like to look at them and think they're going extinct. You know, I'd like to believe that, you know, I mean, if you're going to describe something as light, you know, you're going to have to talk love and sense, common sense, you know, rationalism, you know, a little bit. I that's how I see light. And I think the light's going to get in where it needs to get in. And, you know, they're going to be like the little, you know, the debris from whatever grows out of them, like the shell, the husk of a shell or something from some seed. That's what these guys are. There's no way. They have to be incubating something. It has to be. And in this day and age, with all this hatred, all this filth, all this greed, it can't continue. There's no way. My kids, all the little kids I see, that's not a human being's nature. You know, that's how these people are against. They're like against nature. They're synthetic humans, and I hate to like say that they're not. They're less than people. You know, I don't want to sound like Hitler, but my God, I mean, come on. I have no compassion. He's black. It doesn't matter. He's yellow. It doesn't matter. He's white. It doesn't. Oh, that matters. It just doesn't matter. You know, we're human beings. This is somebody's son. He wasn't doing anything wrong, and some jerkwad is going to harass him because he's scared that some black guy walking through the neighborhood at the wrong time will get a picture, and then they'll look, and then the picture will be on the internet, and then all their property values go down. We can't have that. I mean, seriously? I mean, you know, that's what it is. Like Prophet Bill Hicks, you know, may peace be upon him. That's what he said, and, you know, I do like the Revelations concert, you know, because it was like his biggest show, and, you know, it was like really more message than comedy, and, I just, you know, the eyes of fear and the eyes of love. That's the two ways you can see this ride that we're on. You know, and the eyes of, you know, fear will make you buy bigger guns and gates and live behind these kind of communities. And the eyes of love see us all as kind of one and, you know, try to look towards a future.
And the problem, Albert, is for those of us who try to look at the world through the eyes of love, those eyes of love keep looking at these people who are looking at us with the eyes of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, we've been transformed by it because we want to run from them because those little bastards really are dangerous.
Yeah, I don't want to be them. You know, I just don't have the correct vocabulary. You know, I mean, I don't want to be like that. There's no way. That's a rejection. You know, I've rejected that, you know, long, long time ago. You know, I'm not looking through the eyes like that, but my God. I mean, come on now. Enough's enough. I mean, I can't see, you know, in this day and age, you know, this is going to spread to everybody. Everybody's going to see this. Everyone's going to be outraged. You know, I mean, how can you not be? How can you not be? Oh, if you're a racist piece of crap Fox News viewer, that's how. You know, oh no, we're the racists. I forgot. Sorry. Democratic Party voted against the Civil Rights Act. That's why Ron Paul's against it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Paul. Oh boy.
Well, if nothing else, given the fairly light winter you had, you should have a pretty good stock of brandy handy, Albert.
Goodness. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just going to enjoy some fresh air and try to be nice to people and enjoy good food and, you know, send out good vibes and, you know, say what I can and stomp out what I can when I see it. You know, I mean, that's all I can do. You know, I could sit there and, you know, be the light I wish to see. You know, because that's, we're in some dark days here in America, Stan. You know, there are beacons, right? Wisconsin Stan over here.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to her? She sees the writing on the wall. She's out of here. She ain't even going to owe my family.
I'm so glad she's going to spend more time with her family.
I got to go see my family. Yeah, because you're going to get stomped.
Yeah, go.
You're going to get stomped.
Stand not upon the order if you're going, but go at once.
Yeah.
Your family needs you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Walker, I know jobs. I know how to create jobs. And that's, they always say that. That same line. I know how to create jobs. And wait, what did Santorum say? The gotcha media. He said that again, didn't he? That son of a... The frothy one. He did, didn't he?
Yeah, and he said, I don't care what unemployment goes to.
The gotcha.
Did you catch that one?
Yeah.
That was a precious moment.
Yeah.
He's clearly delineated who the people are who are voting for him and how he expects to become president. He said, I think the bottom line is that we do well among people who take their faith seriously. In other words, everybody who's a Catholic who doesn't vote for Rick Santorum, you know, they're not that Catholic. You know, they're not sitting around with a piece of barbed wire wrapped around their leg or, you know, whipping themselves from time to time or something. You know, those filthy, filthy people who claim to be Catholic and still insist on using birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think that's going to fly? You think that kind of guilt, like it's 1934 or something, is going to fly? I don't think it's going to fly.
1934.
1134. Yeah, 1134. True. You're right. You got it. See, you trumped that one. You got that one.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it all balances in the wash, right?
Always.
But you know what? He had that.
I'm playing for pretzel sticks anyway.
I do like the fact that the frothy one is concerned about our well-being.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah, because he went out to Moline, Illinois, and stood in front of a big statue of Ronald Reagan on a horse. No, really. Okay, let's just take a second.
Is he already beatified? Is he?
Yeah, I think he has been beatified, and he'll be a saint soon. You got it. It's only a minute and 15 seconds. I don't want to cheat the frothy one out of this one, Albert, because this is too good. You're not going to be okay.
I'm strapping in.
Oh, come on. Well, darn it, it's not going to... I hate it when they do that to me. It ran earlier. Okay, so we're going to have to steal his thunder anyway. So he's talking in Moline, Illinois, and he says, and I don't fully understand where this comes from, because it's a big old paragraph. It's not like it's out of context. If everybody goes out and says, I'll do whatever I want, I'll be my own government, I'll love my life under my rules, go out, here's the walk-off. he's talking to the crowd, who most of whom showed up because, you know, maybe they're thinking about voting for the frothy one. This is, you know, these aren't people who couldn't afford the ticket at the comedy club. Go out and leave here and drive down the left side of the highway and see how well that works out. You can't live according to your own rules. We have to live to rules that are good and decent and moral and fair, that allow us all to pursue our dreams. And when people break those moral bounds and society becomes a very dangerous place and government gets bigger, we have to hire more people in uniforms here in this country, and we are less free. Now, you can eat. I'm going for the tequila. You go for the brandy, and we'll be right back. What the does that mean? Did he just say that everybody in the United Kingdom is going to hell because they drive on the left side of the road? Because they do, right?
Yeah.
And Japan, too, right? They're going to... Because they drive on the left side of the road, and that means they're not living, what is it called? Good and decent and moral and fair. But it's government that makes people drive on the right side of the road. There was not a yellow stripe down the first path that Adam and Eve took out of the Garden of Eden, was there, Albert? Help me here.
Brother Bob, there's no help for this kind of crazy. This is crazy. He wrote that in feces on a wall.
I was thinking purple crayon with his toes, Inspector Clouseau style, but...
What is he... I mean, really? That's where he's at?
The moral decay in America is best described and understood as a violation of the traffic code.
Yeah.
This is, of course, the same guy who was running around Iowa saying a paper towel is not a mug of beer. See, this guy, he's an idiot, Albert. I mean, he's a real idiot. And the fact that he talks with that Pennsylvania, Northern Virginia accent kind of makes people think that maybe he's not as stupid as W was. He may be dumber than W.
He was a shining star of dumbassery when W was in the office. That guy's legendary. He's an idiot. That's why Santorum, that's why he has to go beg Google and try to pay him to pay people to go and, you know, whatever, do some algorithm to get his, you know, his name above, you know, Mike Savage's name, Dan Savage's name, little website for him. You know, come on. He's the frothy one, man on dog. Hey, this guy's got more nicknames than anybody, you know. And he's Italian, and it's even more disgusting to me personally on a personal level. You know, it's just shameful the what the Italians in this country look like with Scalia and this Jack, and then whatever Thomas. You know,
whatever happened to the Fiorello LaGuardias of the country?
What happened to these people that, you know, would stand up and, you know...
How did we go from Fiorello LaGuardia to Alphonse D'Amato, Rick Santorum, and Aunt Fat Tony Scalia? What was that process?
I don't know. I'm going to have to get a genetic redesignation or something. It's getting there. It's getting bad. You know, like Mussolini, he's a good guy. Yeah, that's a good guy, Giuliani. You know, didn't he have a picture of... One of those guys had a picture of Mussolini.
Well, Scalia's daddy was the head of the pro-Mussolini faction in New York City during the run-up to the Second World War.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a good role model there.
Ouch!
It really hit... Yeah, look at him. And that's exactly how he behaves, isn't it? I mean, isn't it?
Yeah!
You know? Yeah, I mean, you know... I'm so tired of this gun crap. And this is another thing. This is something that these goons enable. You know, this guy was what? The self-appointed captain of the neighborhood watch, Zimmerman, right? And of course, you know, he listened to on the radio when he's waiting for, his next, you know, got the target acquired. It's almost like a skit. It's like a skit, and I don't want to make fun of it because I don't want to laugh at it. But that's how
because it's so dangerous.
It is.
Yeah, David in Tennessee noting Santorum on the dumb shit scale He says, that towering intellect, Bomber McCain, once told the world quite rightfully, Rick Santorum is the dumbest man ever elected to the Senate. You know, when John McCain says that about you, you're just about too damn... Well, at that point in time, you know that you're pretty well consigned to Velcro shoes because you can't work the laces.
Oh, he is. He's one of them. He is just... I mean, and here's the other thing, though. Can he win anything? He can't win anything. Doesn't Romney have like 580 delegates?
Well, they're saying it's all over if Romney does Illinois. But, you know, Santorum's one of those people that believes in miracles. And so he's vowed to stay in it. This from Darlene. Oh, come on, Bob. You know the frothy one doesn't use a teleprompter, although sometimes he'd like to have a chance to have a do-over. I mean, he isn't even using the old writing on the hand trick like Godzilla from Wasilla did.
Hang on. Undo my collar here.
Right. Got it here somewhere.
Hang on. Oh, man. What a freak. Purple Dinosaur, Barney, that's Barney Santorum.
Oh, you're going to hell.
I'm so sorry.
See, Randall Terry's probably out there listening right now, and he just wrote that down because he's going to testify against you for that at the judgment, Albert.
All right, I'll take it. I'll carry my burdens. I'll carry them because they got to carry theirs, so, you know.
Yeah, I'll own mine if y'all own yours.
Yeah, I mean, that story you guys were just retelling about, you know, the baby showing no brain, you know, development.
Yeah.
And that to make, I mean, you know, you know the empathy that must be lacking. These people have no empathy. They don't know what empathy is.
Oh, and we didn't even get to, I mean, there are parts of that story that are just a horror. You know, three ultrasounds, the doctor reading stuff at her, the 24-hour waiting period. You know, I guess that gives God 24 hours to heal the little precious fetuses in the wombs. God almighty.
You know, I had a friend who that happened to. You know? And it's not a goddamn choice. I mean, it's not. You know, like, and these people, you know, and that kid, she was actually, I don't even know what happened. It was a bad complication. I think baby died in utero. She was 8 months along, and you know what that means, right? They got to do that, what do they call it, the extraction and da-da-da-da-da. They got that scientific name for it. But we all know it as partial birth abortion, right?
That's what they call it.
That's not an elective, you dummy. That's an emergency surgery. What are you talking about? You know, how dare you?
Yeah, I can't find the story, but that's exactly what this goon in Idaho was going on about. They may, we can't have a rape or incest exception in this here ultrasound bill, because if we do that, well, the women will just go around saying they was raped, because they don't necessarily understand what rape is.
Yeah.
Really?
Those dumplings. They know, don't they?
Yeah.
These people, you know, I'm almost going to jump the gun and start rambling like David Icke and calling them reptilians. Because, I mean, I can't see anything other than, you know, the thalamus running or the, you know, what's the other one? The amygdala? That's all they got.
Yeah, lizard brain.
Their brain is a big, it's a big amygdala with a pretty decent kidney-sized, you know, thalamus. That's what it is.
Yeah, and little itsy bitsy higher human level processing. Yeah, that ain't no core i7.
No, these people are not. They just don't have any empathy. They don't understand. You know, like they just can't walk in anyone else's shoes, and they're the most, ineffectual and bumbling idiots. You got guys like, with Bush, right? Mr. Oh, small government, everybody small government, right? And then they make government huge, and then they put horse trainers in charge of FEMA, and then they, it's just, it's like the Marx Brothers. But
people like, die.
On acid. Yeah, on acid with like everything morphing and people killing and like the worst movie you've ever seen. It's horrific. These people are, they're terrible. They really are.
Well, okay, you want an example? This just came in from Jack in Shreveport.
Yeah.
He says, with the usual appropriateness of a sick right-winger, during the sadness and disbelief of the circumstances surrounding the shooting of Trayvon Martin, Senator David Vitter, otherwise known as Diaper Dave, of Louisiana, introduced a bill today to expand upon the concealed carry laws. It would allow residents of states that permit people to carry concealed weapons to carry those guns in other states with similar laws. The bill would achieve this through interstate compacts. Louisiana already has compacts with 38 other states, which includes all neighboring states. What's further so disgusting is that about three-quarters of the article I found this announcement in is text that seems to bend over backwards to cry over how hard life is on the people with the concealed carry permits. Vitter says, and this is a quote, "This doesn't force states to change their laws, and it doesn't force individuals to go through yet another permitting process, the best solution to streamline a complicated problem." Because, we want more Trayvon Martin cases. Or at least Diaper Dave does.
We need a body shield. That's the kind of, we need body shield technology that protects us against ballistics.
Right. The only thing it won't stop is a hunter seeker.
That's right. A hunter seeker, and a nice good blade delivered in the right. And, put some art into it, because these goons running around with their greasy fingers and their Glocks with no safeties, thinking they're Magnum PI.
Blowing away preachers' daughters.
Bringing it to church, bringing it to Safeway, bringing it to, sitting in their car with it. These penis extenders, it's just terrible. There's no word for it. And they're pushing the accelerator. In Wisconsin, I haven't seen it yet, but it's going to make me chill when I do. When I see some guy, normal person, with a gun on their hip. Now I live in a different little area, and I'm not, I'm not a foreigner to guns. But I don't
know. No, but you're not living in the middle of liberal Madison either.
No, that is true. And I'm sure, we'll have, I'm sure I'll see it.
You, the wife, the kids, go down to Culver's for a little custard on a Sunday, and in walks dude. Because he wants to make sure that he's safe when he goes for a bacon butter blue burger.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a little of the fun out of that family outing, isn't it? Knowing that Dirty Harry might get pissed off because he gets sweet potato fries instead of the spuds he was thinking about all day. You can tell Culver's had an impact on me.
Oh, well, they're still going strong.
Still waiting for the first one in West Virginia.
You got one over there across the border, Kentucky.
Yeah, but I got to go. I got to go all the way to Bowling Green for that. Do you have any idea how far that is from here?
No, sorry, Brother Bob.
Yeah, that's a good 5 hours.
Oh, it's worth it.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Especially if they've got the peach on special that day. My God, that was good.
honestly. It is going to ruin our outing. It's almost something that I might have to say something about. It's a tough thing for me to bite my tongue.
Right, and because the business owner won't, because, by God, all the gun people will come and boycott the Culver's because we want to eat our ice cream with our blue steel penis extension strapped to our hip.
Yeah.
Wrong accent, I know.
Yeah, well, whatever. That's a dummy accent. It doesn't have to be a location. These dummies are just everywhere. And I don't understand why,
At least you get to shop at a little co-op where I'm thinking most of the people who go there for their groceries don't feel intimidated by the bread man.
That's what I mean. Why? That's what I mean. They're so scared of everything. They're not. I mean, you know. I mean, if you're that scared,
they live in a world where Listen. Your average right winger, Albert, lives in a world where zombie Osama may pop around the corner at any minute. It doesn't matter if you're in Chippewa Falls or East Oboga, Alabama, or Busted Knuckle, Montana, or Left Hand, West Virginia. Zombie Osama is everywhere.
Man, somebody get them a video game. That's what they need. They need a new hobby, these people.
Well, it's like I said last night, you know, I keep my firearm because I just loves to go target shooting. You know, build a ship in a bottle. God almighty.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, I'm not saying don't have a gun. I have a gun. You have a gun. People have guns. And, you know, they're tools. And
yeah, I got guns because other people got guns.
Well, that's true.
It's a little tiny microcosmic arms race in the United States. I mean, there are people in this state and many others who have entire safes full of precious, of weapons that are precious metal, precious jewel quality. I mean, I knew a guy who kept a safe full of guns because they are instantaneously fungible at high dollar amounts in hard times. I mean, there are shotguns that cost $25,000, and you can get, and you can buy it for $25 and sell it for $30. I mean, I'm surprised the right wing doesn't have ads on their little hate radio program. Buy guns now. There's never been a better time to buy guns. Guns are your surest investment against the coming economic collapse and the zombie apocalypse. Call 1-800-BUY-GUNS. Buy guns now. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it very much is. And that's what it is. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of time itself. They're just afraid, you know? And I have a gun, you have a gun, we don't have to think about it. Well, I don't think about it. I'm only thinking about it because we're talking about it. Once we're done, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it at all. I'm not going to think about it until I hear somebody kicking in my door. You know, like, that's just how you think about it. You know, but these people think about it. You know, I try not to forget deodorant. Right? You gotta put your deodorant on, and you know, you gotta get clean. You gotta, you know, do your thing. So, you know, you shave, if you forget to shave, oh man, I forgot to shave. Right? But these people, they have to remember all that. Plus, did I get my extra clip? You know, and that's like, why even give yourself that much stress?
Did I already rack one in? Have I got one in the chamber? I gotta make sure I got one in the chamber when I go to the Wally World, cause you never know when Zombie Osama's gonna come around the cat food aisle. And I don't wanna be having to waste time to rack around into the slide, cause you got, Zombie Osama is quick.
Yeah, he is. He's real quick, and you gotta yell, and before you shoot him, especially if he's darker, you gotta say, he's coming straight for us! Cause then that makes it alright to kill an endangered animal or a human being or whatever. That's all you got to say, right?
Yeah, it's coming right at us.
It's coming straight for us. It's coming right at us! All these people. I don't understand.
But again, you know, the story out of France, Albert, reinforces the fact that I'm really wanting that planetary exploration. Because France to lose?
Yeah.
And dude on a effing Vespa comes up and wastes a bunch of school children and rides away, having videotaped it for later self-pleasuring purposes. You know, to put up on the Aryan Nation website for the hit of the week. That's France. That's stack up the coffee cups, drink the red wine, smoke the god-awful cigarettes, and live to be 92. France. Whereas Sandra notes, Nicolas Sarkozy is, you know, whipping the right wing of the Vichy French, or their sons, grandsons, and great grandsons and granddaughters into a racist frenzy.
Yeah,
we could go to the UK, you know, where they gun down a black dude for, you know, and get an entire neighborhood burnt down. Hey, Norway. No, wait. White supremacist. Lake. No. Kids. No, no Norway.
No.
Russia. No, no Russia. Chechen rebels bombing school children again. Japan. No, no.
We got to dig our heels in here, and we'll overcome them. You know?
Might as well. And that, Albert, is the ultimate definition of stand your ground, isn't it? I can stand my... You know what? I am so daggum brave, I can stand my I can stand my ground without a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? And, you know, I mean, it's like if you watch anybody dealing with lowland gorillas, you know, and that big alpha friggin' silverback come charging at you 700 pounds of testosterone-fueled fury... and screaming a shriek of hell, and you stand your ground. Because if you turn and run, it will kill you. If you stand there, it'll stop and turn around and go back.
Don't look at him. Keep your head bowed.
Don't look at him. But don't move. Don't run. Because it'll get you. You know, and now we can't run. We can't be afraid while they're afraid, because then we'll just add to the momentum, and that's perpetual motion. We can't have that. We have to. I mean, we just have to sit there and, like, really? Like, okay. As I bite into my butter burger. Like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, you need a gun here, huh? All right.
Good for you.
That's just all I can do.
Citizen, thank you for bringing your peacemaker to Culver's today. I feel so much safer.
I feel so safe. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for protecting us. Standing up for our rights. And they get all patriotic. Douchebag. That's what I do. Or something like, you have to. You know? I mean, because it's just, you just have to just stand your ground. You know, these people, you give them a little, just a little disdain. You know, what are you afraid of? You know, why are you afraid of everything? And that's what it is for everything they deal with. Iran, you know, same thing. Bomb, 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 right? Everybody gets bombed. Everybody gets subjugated. Everybody gets, you know, dominated and, you know, indebted. They don't care, you know. They just want to sit on their high horse. You know?
Yeah, the roses are blooming in Iran right now. The people who do such things are making rose water. And the people who do such things with rose water are making rose water ice cream. And somewhere... off in a bunker in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, Benjamin Netanyahu is scared witless. Now see, there's the ultimate terrification. That guy's scared witless and has no less than 200 nuclear devices at his beck, call, and disposal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the root and the roses bloom in Tehran.
Yeah. And I mean, it just never ends with these people. And just it's no nationality. There's no location. You know, it's this, you know, this shallow little frail pittery pattery cat heart, and a big, you know, sapien body, and a big, you know, ape body. You know, it's paper thin. Every little flutter, their little heart. And it's just fear. That's all these guys know. It's just sad. Everything is fear with these people. That's why they buy the big vehicles and they want to sit there and bomb every country. You know.
Yeah, that's why they've got a 44 Magnum for home defense.
Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean,
little old pissy at 410 shotgun is all you need for home defense. You know, bear comes through the door, lion loose from the zoo.
Let me tell you quick about my father, who's in New York, okay? My father lives in New York by himself, and he does not even lock his front door. And, you know, hey, Dad, why don't you lock your door? Well, for what? He's like, if someone comes in, I'm going to say, what do you want? They're going to say, I want your money. He's going to say, here. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about any of these possessions. Just don't hurt me. You can have whatever you want. And that's how my father decides to resolve with that kind of situation. In New York. Not in freaking Wisconsin. Wisconsin, not in Alabama stand, not anywhere, you know, not in any of these other places in Idaho or Wyoming or West Virginia or, you know, well, you got them wild whites of West Virginia. You got to watch them guys. But
you ain't kidding.
They'll come pitter-patter. They'll come tippy-tapping into your house and take all your stuff or your gasoline. Anyway, but sorry, Bob.
Yeah, it's okay. It's my reality.
You know, I feel you. I feel you on any of this. You know, so wherever crime takes place, it takes place in places where people live. So, you know, in my father's a higher instance over there than there is most other places. He doesn't care. You know, he's not going to let it get to violence. You know, he's just not. That's how he is. You know, and that's, to me, that's brave.
And compare that with that poor woman, that poor woman who would not go to the doctor because she was afraid that the Obamacare would get her personal information and use it to send her to a death panel. And I know it sounds like, God, that's tragic. God, that is horrifying.
And, yeah, it is. It's, you know, I mean, you really, lady, really. You know, and that, honestly, I think I'm related to someone like, or, you know, by marriage, related to someone like that.
You may be.
You know, I mean, we probably all are, and you know, so
I know
yeah,
I am.
You know, we know, hey, you know, I mean, I don't know if we can help them. It's the only way to be, I guess, is to be the example. You know, these people, you know, they know I'm a liberal person, you know, and I don't back down from them. You know, I don't let them. You know, well, every now and then, depends if they. Sometimes they say some outrageous shit, and you just gotta go, okay, you know, and then. Think of something to say that, you know, maybe a biblical verse or something, you know, something, you know, Old Testament.
Yeah, it's like that beautiful little, you know, I mentioned, Moran Monday, I mentioned that stupid story about, the bumper sticker that's going around, don't renege in 2012, ho, 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 ho.
It's not racist.
Over at Rachel Maddow's blog, David in Tennessee sent this along under the heading, Instant Folk Art by Way of Antidote. Obama is not a foreign-born, brown-skinned, anti-war socialist that gives away health care. You're thinking of Jesus.
Exactly. That's exactly. I've used that argument many times. It's just unbelievable. And, of course, if you're only racist if you see it as racist. That's racist.
Yeah, I only sold the bumper sticker because I thought it was cute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this! What do you mean a monkey with a noose around his neck is racist? It just has an Obama sticker on it. I mean, that's what I mean. And so, in a sense, to kind of
you seen him? He hugged that critical race theory and professor. Now we know that Andrew Breitbart did not die in vain.
Yeah, he did. Actually, no, he didn't die in vain. No, he didn't.
Jesus, so, I know.
The world's a better place. I mean, but, you know, that's the thing, you know, what you were saying about, you know, with Sandra earlier, you know, man, he can't do anything. You know what I mean? He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. And I'd love for him to stand up. You know I would. But I also see where it's like the level of nuts and fear and paranoia. Man, you know, remember when he had the beer summit? Remember that?
Yeah, that was the end of that crap.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, you know, that was a circus. You know, well, we had real, you know, he took time out and did something. Next thing you know, it's this whole damn rump room, and you know, there's a hemorrhaging going on. You know, we're bleeding out in this. We got a sucking chest wound in this country. You know, you got guys like Walker saying he's the jobs dude coming in, killing the train bill or killing the train money, giving money to, you know, and now we're the 49th worst in job creation. You know, oh, I'm sure it's a coinkydink, isn't it? You know, I mean, the fact that they were going to, you know, I mean, if I had a high-speed rail line, think about it. Think about this. If we had high-speed rail, right, clean, energy-efficient, China has it, why don't we have it? If we had that, and you could get to, oh, I don't know, you know, what's the nearest big city to you, Bob? If you could get there in an hour and a half,
yeah,
man, that would really
D.C., Pittsburgh.
Employment options. Yeah, that would expand your employment options, wouldn't it? Yeah, you know, get into work, get in the train, boom, 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 go back to work, boom, boom, boom. You know, you work how many hours away? You know, it would make a more dynamic economy that way. You would be putting deeper roots into your development of your civilization. you know, the more renewable energies you use. This is what I mean. And these people are oblivious. We don't need any goddamn trains. We have cars. What do we need a high-speed train for? I don't think we're allowed to go above 670.
Yeah, but see, if we can just get rid of that Obama, our gas prices will go back. I saw a chart the other day, Albert. This was charming. I saw a chart the other day that shows how, like, British and German and American prices, gas prices, all followed the same little upward graph curvy thing.
Goddamn Obama.
You know, we're paying less than they are. They pay more in taxes on their fuel, but all the little, you know, EKG lines are the same. You can just overlay them. And I looked way down there at 1996, and gasoline was something like, you know, $1.50 a gallon. And so that's why Newt Gingrich has to say, we can go back to $2.50 a gallon, because if he says he wants to go back to $1.50 a gallon gas, he's smack dab in the middle of Bill Clinton. It's tough.
Yeah, time traveling is real tough, especially when you're doing it on loopy flakes over here. God, these people, I mean, you know, and that's it's not a limited resource. You know, it's funny, I was just reading about how, you know, the faster if we switch to renewable energies, you know, the quicker, the more impact we're, like, if we go to natural gas is a bridge to nowhere. And that's another thing that these people are selling. Notice it. Every time they talk about energy, they're going to say, natural gas! And then they're going to say, shale! And we all know natural gas is not gasoline. And shale oil is not oil.
Oh, no, but that didn't slow down the coal goobers. And what we need to be doing is utilizing all of our God-given American-born resources, and we need to make some gasoline out of some coal lumps is what we need to do, and that'll bring prices down at the pumper. I heard that the other day. I'm not kidding. It really.
I'm sure. Of course.
Right to the tequila bottle.
Brother Bob, nobody buys ShamWows anymore. That's what they're selling. I mean, you know it. That's what they're saying. Everyone knows it's crap. Everyone knows it's worthless. And, you know, hey, for a while it was hot, you know. Oh, man.
It's going to come apart the first time you ring it out.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I can a whole 2-liter of Coke? Ooh. I always spill one in my lap. I mean, that's how they, you know, and then they got...
No, what you just said, put the 2-liter, yeah, because when I start spilling my 2-liter bottle of Coke, I just keep pouring. Can't stop now.
I can finish what I started. God dang it. And that's what I, you know, nobody's buying. Everyone knows coal is crap. Everyone. You know, that's the thing is, you know, if you may take a poll of people, I mean, who wants coal? Really? Oh, the 60,000 miners and the other ones that are kind of related to it. Coal? Really? That's who wins in an argument. If you can't take it to an internet forum and defend it, it's a bad idea.
Oh, you haven't been on the forum. You haven't, obviously, you haven't been to the Friends of Coal forum. Oh, dear. Now I've told you about it.
I can't be there. It makes your brain hurt. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it would. I probably will, because I'll probably wind up getting there one day. But I'd be kicked off in 2 seconds. And it's all just a big echo chamber. And they're very loud, like Ron Paul, like the Romulans, but they can't muster more than 5%. You know, and yeah, there's the religious aspects and the this aspects and the business stockbroker aspects for the Romneys, you know, and that's where they pull from. That's their pool. And the dummies with the Second Amendment, and you know, and this is what we're dealing with here. But you sit there and you talk, I mean, maybe I'm just in my own bubble, but goodness gracious, there's a lot of people in this bubble. Everyone knows about what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When we talk about, you know, we all know about carbon dioxide. You're not going to win an argument like that. Yeah, you could be a naysayer on YouTube.
Yeah, but it's like the thing with Jim Inhofe. I used to believe in global warming until I found out how much it costed. Huh? What, Edith?
And,
yeah. Huh?
And that's not even, you know, it's like, what is it? What's the same? It's the same word for resources. Oh, man. I just forgot it. Anyway, you know, it really is one of these, it's all relative in that respect. You know, yeah, right. Solar panels are going to cost a whole bunch of money.
Oh, interesting solar news out. The federal government placed tariffs on Chinese manufactured solar panels today because we caught them cheating and given unfair subsidies to their own companies to sell them for cheap over here. You know, dumping.
Obama didn't roll on his back and spread eagle and just give him our spy plane?
No, that was Bush.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was that or Sammer.
Zombie Osama.
Yeah.
You know, he can. You know, he's not only Zombie Osama. He can shapeshift and divide into other Zombie Osamas. You know, we've got a real comic book prospect here, Albert. Brother, I got to roll, but this has been wonderful.
All right, brother.
Stand your ground.
Always. Yeah, you too, brother. We'll be there. I got your back.
All right, later.
Bye.
Bye. Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Email coming in from David in Tennessee. He says, I'm a little ashamed to have it, but I have a polite 5-shot wheel gun in case somebody dangerous swings through my bedroom window on a rope wishing to harm me. Well, after owning said piece for 5 years, I realized the following. A, I have no trees outside my bedroom. B, were it after dark, I'd be loaded and unable to hit a bull in the ass with a banjo. This is a serious thing, David. Don't make me laugh in the middle of this. Let me go ahead. B, were it after dark, I'd be loaded and unable to hit a bull in the ass with a banjo. C, were it daylight, I could call the cops. D, once in my house, I could lose the iron to the intruder. Oops. Every 90 days, I get a step closer to selling the well-made and oh-so-functional little death machine. I go through the same thing. It's kind of like being a recovering Southern Baptist. It's kind of like being a lapsed Catholic with a gruesome crucifix still on your wall, because there's something that says, you need it. And maybe it provides some comfort. Since my kids have gotten older, I found myself worrying more about making sure that the bullets and the appliance were far, far apart and that no one knew where either one were. You ever had teenagers in your house? They know where everything is. It's like telepathic, like the eyes you get in the back of your head when you're a parent. You know what I mean? So let's keep it rolling here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. What's up?
Yeah, I'm in sunny Saudi Arabia.
You're kidding.
No, I'm very serious. I took a teaching job in Saudi Arabia.
Wow. How long have you been there? Because I know you weren't feeling real good when last we spoke.
Yeah, I've been here about a month now, going on a month. It was just an offer, really. Andre and I can't refuse. We're looking to get married this summer, and...
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And pretty much, it's been great. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, these people are not the monsters that American media portrays them to be.
Oh, I've never thought that the Saudi people were. Not, I don't like their monarchy, but the people, no.
Even the monarchy is really not that bad. Okay, consider, you know, when you consider what's going on in the States, you know, consider what the monarchy does here for the Saudi citizens, and even like the expat community who comes in and works, it's not bad at all. You know, and I, you know, yes, I'm living here a month and I'm looking through things through rose-colored lenses, so to say. But, you know, went to a clinic the other day, free. You know, it's just so many, you know, come on, in the United States, they couldn't even utter the, if you say free health care, it's like you're cursing at much of them.
Oh, you know, the little old lady who would rather die than run the risk of being subjected to an Obamacare death panel. I mean, that makes my heart grieve, Kevin.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess one side of me says, yeah, it should make your heart grieve, but another side just says, you know, she made her decision.
Yeah, but the sad thing is, it's not like she was Marveline out in the boonies. This is a woman who had been quite successful. She had run her own business, sold her own business. And then once she stepped away from business, she just, you know, put the plug in her neck and let Fox Radio Rwanda just start pouring in filth.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's like the hardest thing to do is educate the woefully ignorant, you know. That's the hardest thing to
do. Well, it may very well be impossible where the willfulness is concerned, Kevin.
Exactly. You know, it's like, it's strange to me, you know, I've been doing, this is going into my third year of teaching overseas already, and I find it hard to believe. And, you know, I've been in some pretty, I guess, well, so-called, and I say, emphasize the word so-called repressive regimes. You know, democracy was just coming into Korea when I was there. China is China, of course. And Saudi Arabia is Saudi Arabia. I'm not, you know, glorifying these places.
Well, let me, I understand, but let me ask you. I mean, do you live in a sort of separate enclave for foreigners, or are you in amongst the general population on a regular basis?
Yes and no. I live in a building that's nothing but foreigners, but as soon as I step out of the building, I'm amongst the Saudis.
Regardless to the degree to which it's worked out or not worked out, I envy the fact that you're seeing and experiencing all of this, Kevin. And I say that, you know, not in the hateful biblical sense of thou shalt not envy, but in the sense of it has to be just a transformative experience. I hope you're writing and journaling and taking all of it in.
I am, man. Matter of fact, I had to, like, you know, some years ago I mentioned about writing a book, and I had to just, like, reshelve it and rewrite a lot of things that's going on this journey outside of America, you know.
So I assume you're teaching English.
Yes.
Whom are you teaching?
Yeah, college-age Saudi males, you know, men in their early to mid-20s, you know, college age. A lot of them are in, like, engineering, computers, the thing that I used to do. And basically they want to learn English. So
I keep thinking one of these days, know, I got to try that.
Yeah, Andre will be teaching the women's school when she arrives.
Oh, so the women folk do get to go and get the education?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just can't be taught by a male.
No, exactly. Andre is currently in South Africa getting her paperwork to come into the kingdom. So, like, when she left China, she had to go to South Africa to get her paperwork done, just like I had to go to the States get mine done. You know, but going back to the domestic front on your end, what the hell is going on over there? You know, it's like, but that's Florida for you, man. I was never so scared in my life until I lived in Florida.
You know, it was a little more than a year ago that my little tribe and I spent something around 24 hours in Florida. And I didn't say anything to anybody. I was scared the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Florida, some crazy stuff going on in Florida. And, you know, 5 minutes drive from me, it was like a huge Klan rally. See the casings, the bullet casings all over the pavement. You know, and I said, that's Florida for you. You know, nothing ever surprises me of what goes on in Florida. If a UFO were to finally land and make itself public, first place I'll think of is Florida. Really, man. You know, it's something with that swamp air or whatever, but Florida, it does things to people. I don't know.
You know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, they say it's the heat. That folks tend to get along better in places where it's brutally cold.
Oh yeah,
or at least colder.
Yeah. And the thing is,
if you picked up the entire state of Wisconsin and moved it to Florida, all that nice would be, or Minnesota. You know, they talk about Minnesota nice. All that Minnesota nice would just melt in the heat.
Well, I question Minnesota niceness. It produced.
I remember.
What's that? Yeah, but what's that congresswoman, the crazy one?
Oh, Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
But then they also sent Keith Ellison to the House, too, and he's a damn decent human being.
Yeah, but he lives in... I've been to the district that he's a It's not... It's a place that you would not want to be in the middle of the night in Minnesota. Yeah. Unfortunately. But, hey, you know, miracles can happen even in anywhere, I guess. But I tell you, I just want to put out there, you know, this place is not a bad place. And, you know, people just...
You haven't gotten to July yet, brother.
Well, weather, you know. Well, I've had a couple...
I mean, you really wouldn't call that weather, would you? I mean, it's just 365 days with no clouds and no rain.
No.
It's like being the weatherman in San Diego.
Yeah. It was cloudy today. It may just rain.
So will you be learning a little bit of Arabic along the way, too?
I'll try to. You know, that's the downside with this, is that... It's like there's so much pressure for you to speak English, you really don't have time to pick up the language. You know? Because it's like everybody's insisting that you speak in English.
Yeah, but what happens when you go into the market?
Believe it or not, they try. They try. You know, because in a lot of these countries, picking up English, it's almost like a status symbol.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's just like the ancient Romans spoke perfectly good Latin, but you were nobody in Roman society unless you had good Greek. You know, the knock on Gaius Marius was the fact that he was a hick who had no Greek. And in fact, Pompey the Great, they made sport of Pompey the Great over the fact that he spoke Greek with an upcountry accent.
Yeah, so, you know, there you go. That says it all right there. And that's the thing. Korea, it's like, even the old people will try to speak English when you go to the marketplace and all. And it's the same thing wherever I'm going. You know, they insist that I speak English once they find out that I'm foreign. Because one thing about Saudi Arabia, I blend in the crowd here. You know? So it's like, when they hear me speaking English, you know, I get the double takes, and they're like surprised and all that. So it's one of those things where I guess, and they're so happy to see someone that looks like them speak English.
Wow.
So.
Well, what's our time difference?
Yeah.
Right now.
It's 8 hours. It's, I believe, 7:40 there, or
it's 8:40 here.
40? And it's 3:40 a.m. I should be sleeping, but it's one of those nights.
Well, you have really, really honored us, Kevin, by staying up so late and giving us a call. I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll get you on the program a little earlier next time, and you'll be getting to bed at 2 instead of 3.
Yeah, well, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, and it's not because I'm still kind of recouping from the jet lag and getting the time change, because I get really bad jet lag. It can last...
The older you get, the worse it becomes.
Yeah. So, because I landed here February 29th. So, it's going to be a month next week. And so I still sometimes get to sleepless nights. And it's just I woke up around, let's say, 2:30, something or 3, and, you know.
Well, you know, one of these days, when I hit the mega ball or whatever the hell it is, I'm just going to do a world tour of all the horn expat guys and women.
Oh, sure.
And just, you know, do a worldwide hangout. There's hardly anywhere on the planet I wouldn't love to see, Kevin. And like I said, I envy you.
Yeah.
What you are experiencing, my friend. Well, I hope you're well and my best to your beloved Enjoy and do your best with the time, and I hope it's awesome for you.
Oh, thanks. And it has been. Every place I've gone, it has been. You know, you learn more and more about yourself. The best education you can ever get.
Well, you take care. Have a good morning.
Okay, you too.
Bye now. And the audio was awesome. Kevin calling from, for the first time ever, a call from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Back to the phones in just a second. An email coming in from Michael, otherwise known as Kid A, in the chat room. He says, where are the gun heroes? One more inquiry. I ask honestly, not rhetorically. Where are the gun heroes? I'm talking about concealed carry dudes, or open carry dudes, or stand-your-ground law-abiding dudes who saved their family or a bunch of people in a public place from a wanted serial rapist or killer, murderous bank robber, liberal terrorist, etc. You left out the zombie Osama there, Michael. But, okay. Seriously, I'm not talking about undercover cops, obviously. That's different. But where are the heroic Zimmermans? I just think that for every story we hear about, like Trayvon Martin's or Gabby Giffords, etc., we should be hearing at least two gun hero stories. I'd think that the NRA and Fox News would throw such a big-ass parade, virtually or literally, that even a pointy-headed liberal like me living in my NPR and MSNBC liberal media-biased bubble would hear about these all-American gun heroes once in a while. I'm not saying there aren't any, but I can't think of any. And the fact of the matter is, every time one of those does happen, the National Rifle Association does go into full-on the PR blast facts mode. There just aren't that many of them, because most of everything that they promote as the need for firearms is a product of their incredibly fulminating imaginations. Just saying. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program. Anybody? Going once. Okay, that didn't work out. Let's try this. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Cassie.
Oh, hey, Cassie.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Good. So, I was a teenager for many years in a house with a gun, and I always knew where it was, and I always knew that it was loaded. And when my brother first got it, he took me out to the shooting range and taught me how to use it and gun safety and stuff. But I always knew what it was.
And that's, if you're going to live in a gun culture, that's probably the way to go about it. But, you know, the question is, how much of our need for a gun culture is real versus how much is that fulminated fantasy that I mentioned a few minutes ago?
Well, so I actually wanted to ask almost the same question. When is the last time something good came from having a gun? Not just, like, saving somebody's life, but when's the last time something good came?
There aren't that many of them, but you'd have to go to the National Rifle Association, American Hunter, the handguns for Jesus website or whatever. And they, I mean, the stories are there. I mean, because, you know, you'll find them every now and then. The little bodega owner who blows away, a kid trying to steal a package of chewing gum, and the NRA will hail that as citizen's crime stopping, you know, that kind of stuff. It happens.
But that's not something good. That's not
something. Oh, but the NRA promotes it as the absolute height of patriotic Americana.
I think that guy in Florida needs to get the death penalty. I really think that it's murder.
I would like for him to be... I want to be very careful about this, Cassie. I want there to be a thorough investigation, not the sort of sweep-it-under-the-rug investigation that the chief of police in Sanford, Florida, thought was apparently sufficient since the victim was a young black male. I want there to be a presentation to a grand jury, tried and true. I want them to have all of the evidence. I want them to make a determination, A, whether it is more likely than not that a crime was committed, and whether, B, it was more likely than not that George Zimmerman was the person who committed the crime. If they answer yes to both of those questions, I want them to return what is called a true bill to the court. Then I want Mr. Zimmerman brought in irons before the court to plead guilty or not guilty before it. Once he has pled not guilty, I want him to have a complete and fair trial with all the rules of evidence in play, all the rules of criminal procedure brought to bear before a jury of his peers. I want that jury to be properly instructed in the law of the state of Florida, and I want them to ponder the facts and apply the facts to the law that they have been given, and I want them to render a verdict, hand it back to the bailiff hand it to the judge, and have the judge read it to Mr. Zimmerman. And it is my fondest hope, based upon the evidence as I understand it, that they return a verdict of guilty of murder in the first degree, because murder in the first degree is defined as premeditated murder, which he obviously, according to the evidence as we understand it, did. Then I want him sent to prison for the rest of his natural life.
Bob, I'm sorry. I have to go.
I understand, Cassie. No worries. Bye now.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Bye.
I'm struggling with this with the death penalty thing. If we're going to be true to all this, we can't be hollering for his head. Any hollering we have to do has to be for justice, plain, pure, and simple. Hey, welcome to the program. Okay. Hey, welcome to the program. Well, they blinked. I don't think that's too much, is it? That we simply ask for justice. And I don't want it to be some sort of justice rendered by a deity in some sort of imaginary afterlife. I want it to be the justice that a society that is functional can render fairly, honestly, and honorably. It's not too much, is it? Understanding, of course, that if the man is charged and if the man is brought to trial, we know that crowd of terrified people are going to simply do what terrified people do. Terrified racists, terrified bigots, people terrified and wallowing in their prejudices, they're going to scream, well, like we've got here preserved over at Little Green Footballs. They're going to scream that nobody ever brings indictments when a white child is killed. Yes, they do. It happens all the time. There is an African-American woman doing long, hard time in a prison in Connecticut right now because she made the mistake of trying to register her child in the wrong school district. Our prison system is overflowing with persons of color for whom the justice system was brought to bear with every bit of brutality that can be mustered in this country, which has, I reiterate and repeat, a punishment fetish. If the people we are punishing, we deem to deserve it. And we still haven't quite gotten around to that Clint Eastwood moment. Not make my day, but deservin's got nothing to do with it. I didn't deserve this. Deservin's got nothing to do with it. It's a brutal statement when you think about it. But we've got a prison system that's based on it. What did Trayvon Martin deserve? Trayvon Martin deserved to be able to get home with his little bag of Skittles and his little can of iced tea without being stalked and slain by a man wallowing in the depths of a gun fetish paranoid fantasy in which he was going to be carried aloft on the shoulders of the Homeowners Association for having saved the community from another one of those people. Because these assholes get away with it every time. They always get away with it. These effing coons. It's on the tape. That's the nation. That's where we live. And we have to paint it as what? A local issue. In answer to Michael's previous question, and the one that Cassie echoed, David in Tennessee says, yes, my wheelhouse. I have aggressively tracked the myth of an armed citizen doing something other than being a boob. In 10 years, count them, 1, 2, 3, all the way to 10 years, I am aware of 5 cases covered by any media anywhere. 3 of those were foreign nationals that had quick sack joints with a piece under the counter. Now, how many needless homicides have happened unnecessarily otherwise in that same span of time? Subjecting that to something that the accountants would refer to as a cost-benefit analysis, the costs are huge and the benefits few. Jack in Shreveport asking, I'm not sure about the names and places here, but was it at the Gabby Gifford shooting where a guy that happened to be in the mall and was carrying a gun ran over to the scene and almost shot the wrong person? So much for gun heroes. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Knoxville, Tennessee, where people with the beating heroic hearts, such as Albert described, face down a gun goon armed to the teeth and armed with the sure righteous knowledge poured into his brain by the likes of Bill O'Reilly and Michael Savage and Bernie Goldberg, who had marched into a church to blow away some children during a play because they were liberals in there. And those people, unarmed, took his rounds and took him down. No guns. But that angle of the story got precious little press. God, if only they'd brought their 8-inch barreled 44 Magnum Peacemaker to the church and had blown away the other guy, well then the NRA would have splattered it all over America. See? Guns save lives. But there's no new...